ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാ പരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം അസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി വദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതസ് ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിവി ശുശ്രൂഷുവീ തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവസംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹവാം പുത്രേദിതൻ ഇതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകൊണിതാതൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, the prayers to Bhagavad Gita. Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gradidam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaidamrata Varshinim Bhagavadim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanusandhadami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തവത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാഹ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയെ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹൻ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുലാം അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭോധിതം ലോകേ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേപീയമാനം മുദാം ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരതപങ്കജം കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈഃ വേദൈ സംഗപദക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ So, in the 10th chapter, Krishna is saying on the 4th and the 5th verses, which we were discussing yesterday. Buddhir jnanam sammoha kshama satyam damashamaha sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam chama bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushti tabodanam yasho yashaha bhavandi bhava bhudhanam matayeva pratakvidhaha These two verses which we saw yesterday, Krishna is talking about the important things there, the function of the Antaryami, how the Antaryami from inside reveals these things or releases this in a person who, according to his surrender to the Antaryami, this realization will come to him. We seen yesterday that starting with the that Krishna is saying jnanam, knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge, what you have we have talked about yesterday also, that generally when we speak, the words come in four different levels. Pashyandi, para, pashyandi, madhyama, vaikari. Most of the conversation, what goes on in the world is vaikari. Vaikari sound is the one that comes out through the lips. But prior to that, In the case of a realized soul, because they have contact with the truth all the time, before the words comes out, much earlier than that, even the thoughts it develops, because it's coming from the truth, therefore they have gone and touched the very bottom of the words, therefore whatever they speak is always the truth, because it's in relationship with the absolute truth. So that is why Jnani's experiences or a realized soul's words, because it's coming from the Anubhava Mandalam, from the field of experience, it has to be considered that words that comes out from their lips is as good as the Swarupam of Ishvara. Krishna's Swarupam, that is, what comes from their lips. Because it's coming from the very bottom of the truth, from the para stage itself it comes out. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this. Krishna mentions this in the 12th chapter of the 11th canto. And it will come later also, which we will look at it. That there Krishna mentions that the way the sound develops. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, that is the verse number 17 in chapter 12. Sa esha jivo vivara prasudi pranena ghoshena guham pravishtaha manomayam sushmam uvetya rupam matra asura varna idi stavishtaha yadhana laikhe gila bandurushmam belena darunya dhimadhyamanam anuprajado havisha samidhyade tadhaivami vektiriyam hivani. His vani or his words is such, sa esha jivo vivara prasudi, that pranena ghoshena guham pravishtaha. When it comes out from inside, it goes through all these different stages. Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. And in the Jnani's case, it comes from the para stage. Manomayam sushma uvetya rupam. Because the mind, which is very, very subtle, sushmam, it is. Uvetya rupam matrasvaro varnam idistavishtaha. Therefore, all the sound that comes from those lips is matra swaram varnam iti stavishtaha. They are fixed in the truth. They are based on the truth. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that Jnani's words, because it comes from the field of the experience, or in other words, from the realization of the truth, that words has to be taken as absolute truth. It has to be taken as absolute truth. Therefore, you can see the problem. Whatever you may have seen something, and if you have reported in this world, that is not considered to be satyam. Satyam is only in relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the only satyam in this world. Everything else is a fact. Just like in the Maya, we see so many things in the world of Maya. Field of Maya, we experience or we come to know many things. But that is all in the field of Maya, which is subject to change. And therefore, it's not satyam. Anything that is subject to change is not satyam. That's Maya. And therefore, that is not given much importance. Satyam means what is spoken by Krishna, what in relationship with Krishna, knowledge, the Shastram, knowledge, all this is what satyam means. And satyam can only come from Krishna, nobody else, who is present inside as Antaryami. And that Antaryami's reaction, Antaryami's words, that is considered to be satyam. So earlier we have seen happiness and distress also comes from Krishna. And all these things are spoken only with one idea, only for the sake of upasana. Upasana means those who wants to take this seriously of Antaryami principle, or those who wants to develop that Antaryami's perception well, for them this will help. That the Antaryami upasana is very important in the Upanishads as well as in the, you can see Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita also many times. So here, normal satyam, when we say satyam in these words, matters related to the vyavaharam in this world or dealings in this world, even there satyam should be spoken. That is the principle. Because if there is no satyam even in the vyavaharam, there is not going to be any satyam in relationship with the truth. That is very clear. It's easy to understand that. If we cannot maintain satyam even in our vyavaharam, there is no possibility of maintaining satyam in relationship with Krishna. It's impossible to do that. So that is why even there, but here the problem is that in vyavaharam, even if you speak satyam, there is problem. But in relationship with Krishna, speaking satyam is not a problem, because that's coming from the very bottom of the truth. So Krishna says here, also bhayam, bhavaha, bhavaha, and awareness and dissolution, fear and fear, or fear which you saw yesterday, of the feeling of security. So why is this spoken? Krishna has spoken this. So the sphere is, in other words, referred to as material existence. Isn't it? Material existence is sphere. While we are in the material body and the mind, and we are identifying with it, fear must be there. Anxiety, illusion, and all other emotions which are associated with it, which comes from the mind. So, generally you can observe this in the people, how this fear manifests in the society, in a big level, big scale, how this fear develops and gets it stronger. So, Krishna mentions there that that false security feeling, what we create ourselves in this world, to develop a false security within ourselves, that has to go. Because just like the child feels perfect security with the father and the mother, in the same way, if our relationship with Krishna is proper, especially that Antaryami relationship, then you are always protected. You are always protected, and that feeling will come to the devotee, that Krishna is protecting me always. So long as that feeling is not there, you will always feel an imperceptible force behind you, which always protects you. That is the symptom of that. When Krishna is protecting somebody, he will feel that protection from Krishna. Like in the Bhagavatam we spoke about yesterday, Mahabali's case, isn't it? When Mahabali was sent to Sutalam, Krishna says to him, Rekshishye sarvadoham tuam sanugam sabarichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshase bhavan. Krishna says to Mahabali, that Rekshishye sarvadoham tam, that I will protect you. Because Mahabali's surrender was complete, isn't it? Only in that state, to that degree of protection will come from Krishna, when the surrender is complete. Rekshishye sarvadoham tam sanugam sabarichadam. Not only you, your whole family will be protected. Krishna says to Mahabali, that means Mahabali's grandfather is Prahlada, and Mahabali's wife Vindhyavali, everybody is protected, Krishna says. Why? Sanugam sabarichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshase bhavan. You will always see my presence all the time in Sutalam. So, Krishna mentions this to Mahabali. So, that security feeling, what Mahabali has got, is necessary in spiritual life for every devotee. If that feeling is not there, it will be very, very difficult. You can see here today also that although materially the modern society is very developed and there is a lot of facilities and conveniences and arrangements, but you will never see in the history throughout a society like today which has been living in fear like the way it lives today. If you analyze it, you can see it yourself. So why such an insecure feeling all the time? Everyone feels that, an insecurity, state of insecurity. Because if it is possible, they will make their own tomb and go and sit inside. To that extent, a fear has come to the society. And each and everyone in the society, you can see, is afraid in some way or the other. That manifests in all the time, wherever you go. People are unable to speak to each other because of fear. And children are told not to speak to the adults. Adults are told not to speak to the children. Where is all this? Why this fear has come in this way? And especially you will observe this when you go to the airports, when you go through the immigration, how they control you, asking you to completely take away everything from you. And there is always so much fear that, is there anything there this person is going to create? So everything at this, when you look at the security check at the airport, that's a good strong indication of the consciousness of the people who are, how are managing. And even if you leave a luggage in the airport, constant announcement
that if it is, if anyone leaves the luggage, it will be taken out and destroyed straight away. That fear, again the fear. So everything has become very difficult because of this fear. And you can see even all houses are fitted with alarms and shutdowns and everything, all kinds of arrangements. All these things didn't exist about 50, 60 years ago. It's come all now. So any time in the history, if you look back, those who have lived for a longer time, they know that this is totally a strange situation that is happening now in this society. Total fear all the time. Who is going to create what problem next moment? This feeling all the time exists. And that is why you can see this insurance industry has grown so big, isn't it? Anything and everything is insuring now, because otherwise you can't live in this world. And insurance, due to various reasons, mainly because of the fear. So that fearfulness, Krishna is saying, is coming from Antaryami inside. So that is why he mentions, Krishna says here, that sometimes you can observe also this, when you travel in the train, here it's not so much because trains are not crowded, but even in India at one time when people traveled in the train, they spoke to each other, but now nobody talked to each other. Everyone has become very recluse. So therefore they get all these gadgets and start listening to the music or something and keep out of others' business. We don't want to talk to anybody. They have become more and more afraid to talk to each other. Similarly, when food is sold in the railway stations and all that, people find it difficult to buy now, because often people mix the food with some other things and it is hilarious, the whole thing. When you see all these things, what a society we have ended up with. That's what he's saying. This insecurity feeling, because the reason is that we have completely forgotten that Krishna is present in everyone inside the heart as Antaryami. This incident in the Bhakti tradition, they talk about this in Mirabai's case. Mirabai's family was totally against her in spiritual life. They did not like her relationship with Krishna. She served Krishna so wholeheartedly and completely she took Krishna's shelter. So the Rana family, her family members and the Rajput royal family, those family members, Rana decided to induce poison to her. And therefore what he did was, one day he brought poison saying to her that I have offered this to Krishna, it is Krishna's prasadam, you can take it. And that way he tried to poison her because he wanted to kill her. That was the idea behind it. Mirabai had no problem. She completely believed what he said, took the poison and drank it. But Krishna, who was inside as Antaryami, Mirabai thought that the Antaryami who is inside the Rana, the brother who fed her the poison, he thought Krishna has given the bhakti to him also. And so she had no reluctance, she took it and drank it, thinking that it is Krishna's prasadam. So from there you can see, and Mirabai had no effect on her. There was no effect on Mirabai. The reason is this, that materially if you try to develop this security feeling, it will not work, because behind that there is a thing called the mind. There is a thing called the mind. And you will observe this, that to give you an example, that when you go to very filthy places, the hogs are playing around in the sewage water. We are so frightened about the sewer water that if a drop gets in or touches us, we get going to get sick, isn't it? But you wonder that those hogs and their babies, they are drinking that water and they are playing it all the time. They have also got a stomach and a digestive system like us. They are not getting sick. Why do we get sick like this? So this indicates to us that although the same mechanism exists in their stomach also, that this purity and impurity, all these things are coming from the mind and intelligence. It comes from the mind and intelligence. The sages knew this very well. The rishis, they knew this very well. So what have they done? If you know the deity worship, what they do, so many things which are offered in the deity worship are not pure, isn't it? They are not pure. Where it's coming from, we don't know. It's coming from many, many different places, flowers, the fruits, and the grains, the milk. What all, it goes through so many hands, and they are not necessarily very pure. It has been handled by people who are not very Krishna conscious, in other words. But what did the Rishi say to us? Rishis are saying that whatever may be your offering, recite these words, Om Apavitro Apavitrova Sarva Vastu Sarvada. There's a verse like that. That means anything, if inside you, if you do not have that concept that it is impure, then it's pure. Purity and impurity is only in the mind. It is coming from there. It has nothing else to do. But if you are fearful, everything becomes impure. Everything becomes impure. So there, that is why in the deity worship, they have this verse. Everybody chants that before making the offering to the deity. Om Apavitro Pavitrova Sarva Vastu Sarvada. That verse is famous. So Rishis know this. They are saying here that if that purity has come in the mind, then nothing will affect us. If inside is pure, nothing can affect us. But you have to generate that force inwardly. Inwardly you have to generate that force. Then if it happens, then whatever it is outside, it cannot have any effect on you. It cannot have any impact on you. Otherwise, everything will get affected. No matter how pure the food is, still it will affect you if inside is not pure. Sometimes the food is all very clean and pure, but inside is very strong emotions, it's impurity inside, some disturbances inside, and if you eat the food, you get sick, isn't it? Not due to the food, but due to your state of mind, due to the state of mind. So that is why you will see this fear is in everyone. Even in Salsangam, you will see sometimes people will always keep a watch on others because they are saying, suppose if he sneezes, will I get affected by the cold or will the bacteria will catch me? So some people goes a lot more than that. They have made a complete list of all the illnesses and their symptoms from the internet. They have downloaded and kept it. And when they keep it like that, and if they get any sick, they will know, they compare, they check with the list if the symptoms are matching with what they have got. And they keep on studying this list of all the symptoms which are related to different illnesses, and they keep meditating on that all the time. But as far as in relationship with the soul, if you tell them about self-inquiry or any such thing, they find it very difficult. But as far as relationship with the diseases, illnesses, symptoms and concern, they have no problem. It becomes their meditation altogether. They can meditate on that, all these problems. Because when you continuously meditate on that, finally it will catch you. Finally it will catch you. Because it will not leave you without controlling you finally. Therefore, whichever you are inviting, finally it will come. Sankalpam, the strength of Sankalpam. Suppose in your mind, if you have developed some strong thoughts on anything, and if it gets very established inside, finally it has to come to the power of Sankalpam. Antaryami makes the arrangement that it can come inside. So, so that is why Krishna is saying here that one side we are by nature immortal, isn't it? Krishna is saying to us, you are immortal, Satya. Isn't it? Sat is our nature. Sat is our nature. But whatever you may do, if the time of the prarabdham is over, prarabdham time is over, the body will disappear. The body will disappear. And whatever you may do here, however you try to take care of the body and other things, eventually it will go. It cannot be stopped. So this Antaryami inside, from whom happiness and distress, fear and fearlessness, birth and death, all these are generated from inside by the Antaryami. Antaryami generates it. Birth and death is the function of the Antaryami. It is nothing to do with the medicine or the doctor or the illness. The whole thing is controlled by the Antaryami inside. We often tend to ignore that aspect. When they report about the death, they say, oh, he died due to a heart attack, or he died due to cancer, or he died due to something else. But that is only an external thing. The decision to take that, leave that body is done by the Antaryami inside. That is why Krishna is saying, Jananam Maranam, birth and death is also a function of the Antaryami. We have to recognize that. Till he decides that, it's not going to happen. As far as birth is concerned, as far as death is also. Similarly, fear and fearlessness. Krishna says, buddhi jnanam asam moham chama satyam damam shamam. So many things. All of these things are in the Antaryami. They are inside the Antaryami. And we have to know how to milk it from the Antaryami. That is what is important thing. This milking process, how to milk it from the Antaryami, all these things. What Krishna mentions there. What are they? Buddhir jnanam asam moham chama satyam damam shamam sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha abhayam eva cha. Krishna says, so how to milk it from the Antaryami? Considering that Antaryami is like a cow. Antaryami is like a cow. We have to milk it from that cow. So the process of milking it from the Antaryami is called matam or spiritual life. Spiritual life is that. Milking all these things from Antaryami inside is called spiritual life. It's called spiritual life. Ajaram, samskaram, so many things. What we have got today is some dress only. We have got some dress only. We call all spiritual life is now centered around the dress, what one has got. So, therefore, the inner secret we have lost. The process. Inner secret we have lost that. So bhakti means that actually it is that inner secret of how to go and touch the Antaryami. But when it comes to a very gross level, what happens is we lose this capacity of milking the things from the Antaryami. Antaryami principle is completely forgotten. It has become totally external, and that is the greatest difficulty. So Upanishads are saying to us, because Mundaka Upanishad says, yes, Sarvajnaha. He is Sarvajnan inside. Sarvajna means one who knows everything. Yeah? Sarvajnaha. Sarva vidyasesha mahima bhuvi. Divye brahma bhure hyesha. Vyoma nyalpa pradishtida. Mano maiha. Prana sharira netra. Pradishtidonne. Kradayam sanidhaya. Tad vijnanena paribashyandi dhiraha. Anandarupam amrutam yad vibhadi. Rishi is saying to us the nature of Antaryami. Rishi is saying to us, he's saying, Yes Sarvajnaha, he knows everything. Sarvavid, he has a complete record of everything of the past and what's going to happen in the future. Sarvavid. Yesesha mahima bhuvi divye brahmapure hyesha vyomni atma pratishtida. Brahmapuram, it is called the place where the Antaryami is present. Atma Pradishtida Manomayaha Pranam Sharira Neda Pradishtidone Kadayam Sanidhaya Tad Vijnanena Paribashyanti Dhiraha Anandarupam Amrutam Yad Vibhadi. So here you can see that when he is called a Sarvajnaha or Sarvaved, two levels. One, everything he knows in general, everything what is going on. And he will also knows everything in special situations. What does that mean? It means that in everything what we do, samanyam visesham it is called. In general way and in a very specific way. How it is in a general way? General way it is like this. That everything he is constantly aware of it. Everything what is going on, like sakshi, witness. Like sakshi or witness, he is present inside everyone as Chit Shakti, Chit Prashakti. It is called Chit Shakti. So Chit Shakti present inside is completely aware of everything what is going on inside, outside us. Inside, outside, everything what's going on is constantly is aware of that. The specific thing is like this, that suppose 10 years ago, today is 10th of February, isn't it? 10 years ago, at 10th of February, at this time, say 3:30, what each one of us have done, he knows. Generally, he knows everything what is going on all the time in everybody, inside and outside. In a general level, he knows everything. He also knows that in a special situations, like if you want to find out what we have done, we may not remember what we did 10 years ago on this day at 3:30. We don't know about it, but Krishna knows. That is what he is saying here. Yes, sarvajñaha sarvavid. Sarvavid refers to that. Yes, yesha mahima bhuvi. That is his greatness. That is his greatness. So aware, that awareness in him is so high, the degree of awareness. Upanishads are saying to us, so because he is that's why he's called the all-knowing one. All-knowing means that, knowing everything what's going on now, and he also knows what all has happened in the past. In the past also. So, in spite of that, why do we not know him? Because, what is the reason for that? Because of the ego. Because our pride will not allow, or ego will not allow to know him. And that is what is called as mudhatvam, mudaha, mudaha. So, whoever has completely closed the door towards the truth, he is called as mudha. So, in other words, due to ajnanam or avidya inside our heart, we have completely closed down the swarupam, his swarupam. In other words, Krishna swarupam inside, we have completely shut it down. So, therefore, mudha. So, the andaryami inside, Krishna says, Upanishad says, ya sarvajnaha, sarvavid, sarvashaktaha, and all power is in him. All power is in him. And you can see also in the temples and everything, we are worshipping Krishna in different forms, isn't it? Why? Because according to the different bhavam inside, devotees have worshipping Krishna in different forms in the temples also. And that manifestations, all what you see in temples, because when you go to deity worship and temple worship, Krishna's manifestation, he is addressed in different names and different temples, is it not? He is addressed in different names. And the deity, what is installed there, has come from the sangalpam of the person who has installed there. It is from his sangalpam, it has come. So all that forms, when you want to worship him, that upasana murti, or in other words, the form of worship, one has to remember that Andaryami, who is inside each one of us, is present there in that form for us, for our convenience to execute the worship. If you know this principle, then you can see that why so many deities have come in the Vedic tradition. So many different deities have come in the Vedic tradition. People ask this question all the time. Oh, you people have got thousands of gods, isn't it? They say like that. But actually what you have to understand here is that from principle, the beginning of worship comes from Andaryami. Deity worship has come later, afterwards. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see deity worship started probably at the end of Treta Yugam or beginning of Dwapara Yugam. That's when the worship of the deity form started. Prior to that, all the understanding is based on the Andaryami principle. So, although there are so many different manifestations, different forms worshipped all over the world, the principle still remains that Andaryami is present in that form according to the worship or the modes that the particular person is worshipping in that temple or whoever has installed the deity there. But all of them, the origin of that is from the Andaryami. Just like children, when you can buy these biscuits in different forms, elephants and horses and cows and all that. So they all come in boxes, packed together, all the different, in different forms and shapes. When you give to the children, they will say, I don't want the elephant one, I want the the horse one or cow one or something like that. So children, seeing the form, they make the choice. They feel some connection with a particular form. But the material, what it is made of, all the biscuits, it's the same. The flour, the sugar, the butter, everything, it's the same. And later on when they grow up, they don't make any difference. They accept everything. So in spiritual life also, initially we may have some particular attachment to one form, but as we grow in our spiritual understanding, we can see that these differences will disappear and will become more serious about the source where all the forms have come from. Jnanasambandar mentions about this. He says that Vina Vidya Vijakshanaha, he says, about worshipping his deity whom he has worshipped, he says, whatever form that comes outside, it does not matter to me. When Krishna has woken up inside, in his particular case, the Shiva's form he has worshipped, he says, when he has woken up inside, there is Rahu or Ketu or any other 9 planets, let them come. And whichever position they are in, it does not matter. And once you know that Antaryami is coming in different forms, or that duality goes away from inside, all our emotions will become Krishna's different manifestations. So that is why he says here, that you'll say, see here, that Ahimsa Samato Tushti Tabodhanam Yasho Yasham Bhavandi Bhava Bhudhanam Mattayeva Pradak Vidaha. See that verse? Krishna is saying that as much as when the duality has disappeared from inside, once you know the source from where all different forms have manifested, which is Antaryami, once you have gone to that state of realization of Antaryami, initially everything begins with the form. We have different devotees have different choices for different forms, isn't it? Some people are attached to Narasimhamurti's form. Some people are attached to Parthasarathi form. Some people are attached to Krishna's little baby form, baby Krishna's form. Some people are attached to Venugopala form, Krishna with playing the flute with Radharani. So there are different manifestations, Krishna's manifestations. Some people are attached to Narayana form. Some people are attached to Vishnu form. So all these forms, Krishna is saying here, that Ahimsa Samata Tushti Tabodhanam Yasho Ayash Isho Yashaha Bhavandi Bhava Bhutanam Mattayeva Pradagvidaha. In other words, all these forms, where are they coming from? Bhavandi Bhava Bhutanam Mattayeva Pradagvidaha. Krishna says, all of them have come from me. Means from Antaryami, they have come. That is how the different forms have come into existence. Although in the Puranam we will talk about the different incarnations, still you will find where deity worship is performed in many, many places, there are many forms of Krishna which are not even mentioned in the Puranas. According to the, like Sakshi Gopal form, he is called Sakshi Gopal deity, isn't it? That is not there in the Puranam. It is a history, there is a history behind that deity. The king of Kanchipuram, he had that deity before. But after the marriage, he was handed over to the king of Orissa, and then the Brahmanas trip to Vrindavan and back, all that history you know about that deity, which later on became Sakshi Gopal. So Sakshi Gopal, as name has come to him, he is Krishna himself, but due to the particular bhavam of that, mood of that devotee, who wanted to marry the old Brahmana's daughter, and in relationship with that, that name was given to him as Sakshi Gopal. As Sakshi Gopal. So once we know that Antaryami inside is coming in a particular form, then that means the duality has gone away from inside, and all emotions in us will become as Krishna's appearance. That is what, if you have to carefully study that verse, Krishna says, Ahimsa Samata Tushti Tabodhanam Yasho Yasha Bhavandi Bhava Bhutanam Mattayeva Pradagvidaha. That all these different bhavam, Krishna says, comes from me. From Antaryami it comes. This you can understand. If you look into history also, you will see some people are attracted to some of these qualities, isn't it? Take for example, Mahatma Gandhi was very fond of Ahimsa. He was very much held on to that, Ahimsa. Ahimsa was a very strong principle for him. So in one occasion, what happened, if you read autobiography, you will see there, Mahatma Gandhi had a goat with him. He kept a goat with him and he drank the goat's milk. And he was particular about that. So in one instance, the goat became very sick. The doctor told that it will be difficult to cure the illness of the goat. And doctor suggested maybe we should kill the goat. Mercy killing, in other words, for the goat. Gandhiji didn't agree. Mahatmaji said that no, that is not acceptable. And later on, Gandhiji himself got sick. And he wouldn't allow to give any medicines to him. He won't accept any medicines. He said, I'm willing to suffer, go through. That separation from the body. So you will see in instances like that. Normally, Gandhiji will not allow to treat with any medicines. And when finally, on one stage, he said, he kept silent for a long time, and finally he said, all right, I'll take the medicine, he said. So he's saying here, how did he agree with that? Because he says, I don't know, he said, it came from within to accept the medicine. So sometimes it is like that. Antaryami operates. Those who know the way Antaryami works, they'll be easy able to know about this. And Ahimsa Abhida Praninam mentions here. What is Ahimsa means? Ahimsa's definition we will see. We saw it yesterday, isn't it? Ahimsa Abhida Praninam. Yesterday we saw that the Ahimsa. Sukham Ahladaha Dukham Sandavaha. Bhava Ulbhavaha Abhavaha Tad Vibharyaya Bhayam Jatrasaha Abhayam Evajatal Vibharidam. Ahimsa Apida Praninam Samata Samachitada. So basically Ahimsa means not giving pain to any other living entity in any way. So therefore that Ahimsa Bhavam, in other words, Krishna who is present inside us, Antaryami, from him it has to come. That feeling for other living entities. And in order to develop that priyam or loving feeling for towards others, that is, it says here, Shreyo Bhuyad Agila Jananam. So let that Maitri Bhavam, Krishna mentions there, Maitri Bhavam. Ahimsa Samadha Tushti Prabodhanam Yashoyashasa. So that Maitri Bhavam, the friendship, feeling of friendship towards all other living entities, that has to come from the Antaryami inside. So, in order to that to happen, we have to know Krishna inside, who has to realize him inside our own, within ourselves, because his swarupam, Krishna swarupam, is that love. Isn't it? Maitri Bhavam is Krishna swarupam. Samatha means equal, samachittada, samatvam, shanti, tushti, that we have seen yesterday. So here, Krishna is saying here, all these things are coming from the Antaryami, from the soul. All these things are coming from the soul. We say it has come from the mind. Generally, that is how people say about this, isn't it? We say it's come from the mind. Then the question comes, where did the mind come from? Where is the mind coming from? Mind comes from the heart. And heart means from the chit shakti, from the chit, and it is from that chit shakti all these great qualities are developing. And one who knows that, for him, they become the giants in the spiritual field. Those who have got this, they have become the giant personalities in the spiritual world. This is where the problem is. Initiation outside is not good enough. This initiation from that Antaryami inside, and that initiation, if Antaryami initiates you from inside, only then you will become a realized soul. Only then you will become a realized soul. The initiation outside by the spiritual master is only a beginning process. Till the success of that, finally it ends up that the Antaryami inside has to initiate you from inside, and then it becomes the success. Till then, no, it's not a success at all. That is real spiritual life is that. That's what Krishna says also in the Bhagavadam. Atmano Guru Atmaiva. purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade, he says. That it is him who has made an arrangement for external manifestation of the Guru. So strictly speaking, Antaryami inside controls our spiritual life all the time. And to facilitate that, sometimes a form will appear when a person is ready to give the bring him to the path, to give the initiation, everything. But that is only a starting point. Real initiation, that is why all those who have succeeded in spiritual life, who have become great personalities in spiritual life, spiritual giants, if you want to call them like that, for them, it is not only the outside initiation, it is the initiation from Antaryami that has done the job. That has done the job. It is with the initiation from the inside that the things have happened for them. Things have happened for them. You can see this in the next verse, what Krishna says. Look at that. That's what he's going to say there in the next verse. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasa jata yesham lokam ima prajaha. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasa jata yesham loka ima prajaha. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastathaha madbhava manasa jata yesham loka ima prajaha. Here Krishna translation is, the seven great sages, which are known as saptarishis, and before them, the four other great sages, which are the four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana, and Sanat Kumara, and the Manus, which are 14 Manus, isn't it, which are the progenitors of mankind, are born out of my mind, and all creatures in these planets descend from them. All creatures in this planet descend from them, Krishna is saying here. So, seven great sages. For like every Manvantaram, every Manu's time, the seven sages will change. That list is there in the Bhagavatam. You can find it. So, Saptarishis, the seven sages, then the four Kumaras, Krishna is saying, and also the 14 Manus, which come in every, just like this, that on a day of Lord Brahma, there is 1,000 Chaturyugam. One Chaturyugam is Kritam Treda Dwavaram Kali. Altogether, four Yugam. That makes one Chaturyugam. So, 1,000 Chaturyugam makes a day of Lord Brahma. And 1,000 Chaturyugam makes a night of Lord Brahma. And there is 365 days. That is Brahma's day. 1,000 Chaturyugam is one day. 1,000 Chaturyugam is one night. So, together, our 24 hours becomes Brahma's one day. Like that, Brahma's one day. Similarly, 365 days, Brahma's year, and 100 years is Brahma's life, which runs into billions of years. In that period, in this 1,000 Chaturyugam, which is one day of Lord Brahma, 14 Manus appear. That means every Manu gets 71 Chaturyugam. That is his lifespan. One Manu's lifespan is 71 Chaturyugams. So in a day of Lord Brahma, 14 Manus appear, 71 each of them have, that means 994 or something, whatever, 994 I think. And remaining 6 is a what crossover from one Chaturyugam to other Chaturyugam. So in that period of time, Krishna is saying here, there will be a group of Saptarishis, which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in which Manu's time, who are the Saptarishis, everything is spoken there. In sometimes it is Vasishta, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Markandeya and all that. Sometimes it's Bhrigu, Parashara and they are like that. And sometimes it is Shukabrahmarshi and so many others. There's a list of them, all of them, their names mentioned. All these great sages are close to Krishna has appointed them. How has they appointed? Krishna says, they have all come from my mind. In other words, all these great sages have come out from Krishna himself. It has come from Krishna. He says here, Maharshaya Saptaha Bhrigu Adaya, Bhrigu Maharshi and others, Purve Adita Kala Sambandinaha, Chatwaro Manava Tadaha, Savarna Idi Prasiddhaha, Teja, Techa, Madhavaha, Madgada Bhavanam, Vaishnavena, Samarthena Upedaha, Manasaha, Manasa Eva Ulpadidaha, Maya Jata, Utpannaha, Yesha, Manuna, Maharshinam Chasrishtihi, Loge Imaha Savara Jangamaha Prajaha. So, Bhrigu and others who are the Saptarishis later, and then Manus who are there, list of Manus, starting from Swayambhu Manu, the first one. Then there is Raivada Manu, Chakshusha Manu, and there is others as well. The whole list is in the Bhagavatam. In all these Manus, Krishna is saying here, all of them have come from me. All of them have come from me. And they have, it is from them all other species have come. Other species have come from them. It's a very interesting thing what Krishna is saying here. This is still taken very seriously also, because it has a reason behind that. Krishna says the four Kumaras and the Manus, the 14 Manus, and Chatvaro Manavastatha, they have all come from my mind. From my mind. And it is in relationship with that, in the earlier verse Krishna mentioned, Bhavandi Bhava Bhudhanam Matta Eva Pradagvidaha. All of them, according to the Bhavam, they have taken birth from Krishna. According to their Bhavam, they have taken birth from Krishna. Krishna is saying here, Bhavandi Bhavo Bhudhanam Matta Eva Pradagvidha, in the previous verse. And on that principle, all these Maharshis means great rishis, all of them, Maharshaya Saptapurve, the seven sages, Saptarishis, and then Chatvaro Manavastada, the four Kumaras, which is Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana, and Sanat Kumara, and Madhavo Manasa Jada, they were all come from my mind, Matvaro Manasa Jada. So, it is from them all other species have come. All other species have come. In other words, what you have to take note of that is all our ancestors, they are our ancestors, isn't it? Everyone, all species alive, they are our ancestors. And they were all born from Krishna directly. The first personalities like them, they were all born from, personalities are born from the. You can see, and it is from the Manu, the word man has come. Man has come from the word Manu. Manu is the one which then later on became man, isn't it? So all our ancestors have come from Krishna. And from them, after many, many generations, we have come in that way. Now, you know, in the when we make yogurt, just like in the milk, you pour some kulcha, isn't it? And then turn into curd later, or yogurt, isn't it? So once it so happened that you have poured some culture into the milk, but the milk got all separated. It didn't work. Milk went turned sour. Milk turned sour. It went bad. So again they changed them, boiled the milk, and again they put, again it turned sour. So at that time, because they realized it, that there should be something wrong with the culture that you have put into the milk. So finally somebody said, instead of changing the milk, why don't you change that culture, what you have putting it in, to change that into curd. So when they did that, it came out okay. It came out okay. So because culture, what you put in is only a few drops of it, that is sufficient to change it. And that has influenced the milk and it has spoiled everything. So if that thing what you put it in, if that is in a good shape, good condition, it should have the good results also from that. So you can hear, in a small thing like this, if this can happen, if it can happen, continue, hundreds and thousands of years ago, Krishna has put the seed of the rishis into all the species. Seed of the rishis have put into our species, because all these rishis also have come to this world. They are also human species, isn't it? They are also human species. So to them, Krishna has put his seed into them. And how can we say that that seed has no effect on us? How can you deny that? Because if Krishna has put that seed of spirituality into the rishis, that spiritual seed that has gone into the rishis must come through even to the many, many, many generations which comes after the first group of rishis. It can never go, because you can keep on changing it. It will never go. That is why generation after generation, even if you change the body, keep on changing the body, the essence of this rishi's culture, it will keep coming back into our consciousness. No matter, you can see this in this world, a society becomes very materialistic. And at the peak of its materialism, a group of young people come out revolting against it. They want to go back to the spiritual life again. Again and again it repeats in the society. Is it not? Always you can see this. Sometimes, somewhere in the world, doesn't matter where it is, people become so materialistic, and suddenly you see a spiritual life developing from there, right in the middle of that. Why is it? If they have become so materialistic, why is it that they are going back to spiritual life again? It always happens. Everyone, you will find when the society has become extremely materialistic, that's when you find the inquiry is very strong in the spiritual side. They become very serious about it, about spiritual life and spiritual inquiry. Why is that? This is that seed of Krishna. Krishna's seed, what he has put into the rishis, that's coming back through the human species again, back again into action. It will never go. It is based on this principle that we have to reject Darwin's theory. Darwin is saying to us that we are improved and come to this. We don't say. What we say is we are degraded and came like this. The best was the rishis who were in the beginning. And the proof to that is that it is their seed, it is sprouting again back into people's consciousness. And it's coming back in some form, and people start inquiring serious about spiritual life. What next after this life? That inquiry comes from that, isn't it? So that, therefore, Krishna is saying here, Maharshinam, that is why he mentioned this words here. Maharshaya sapta purve. Chatuaru manavastataha madbhava manasa jadaha yesham loka ima prajaha. If Darwin understands these words, he could not have proposed his theory to us. The whole science is running after this. But these words is indicating to us that actually, again and again, what comes in this society, this atheism and all that, it cannot stand in this world. Even people who are claiming themselves to be atheists, inside it is always ticking. It's always ticking inside. They also, no matter how hard they are in their atheistic thinking, inside there is still that consciousness that will not allow them to go in that direction very far. So therefore you can see, this is going on some time immemorial, this atheism and rejection of Krishna. But Krishna is saying here, in everyone, every living entity, that divine element continue to exist. You cannot take it out from there, because that is how we have been created. If we say to someone that we are just matter, it is on that principle Darwin is proposing, completely based on the form and completely based on the shape and the color and all kinds of things. What he is proposing, that we have developed into this human body. But spiritually developed, how we have developed, we have actually degraded more and more. But again, you can see that that seed that has been put in by Krishna will never disappear. Sometime it will keep sprouting again and again. That is why all time in the history, throughout the civilization, jnanis will disappear in this world. It's impossible to drive them away. Because somewhere, somebody will develop spiritual knowledge and realize the truth. You can't stop that happening. Some unusual situation, unknown circumstances, it will happen. Where it will happen, very difficult to say. Very difficult to say. But it is there. Why? Krishna is saying here, Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatuaro Manavastataha Madbhava Manasa Jataha Yesham Loga Imaha Prajaha. All living entities in this world, all of them, especially in the human species Krishna is referring to, because he is talking about the rishis, he says, Yesham Loga Imaha Prajaha, that all people in this world, this culture Krishna has put in the very beginning, because they come from Krishna's mind. All these Saptarishis and the sages and the Manus, they have all come from Krishna's mind, Krishna says. And when he has generated them, in them Krishna has put this culture. And that culture will remain there. Its effect cannot be taken out there. So that is why in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see. So no matter how powerful the demons are, if you closely observe them, you will see they also had a spiritual understanding of life. That is why, have we noticed in the Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu talking Vedanta philosophy there. To when Hiranyaksha was killed, he was pacifying a mother of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. She was getting pacified. And Hiranyaksha's wife, Hiranyakashipu, is talking to them about the truth. You will see that in the Bhagavatam. There are other instances. Vritrasura, perfect example. Very demoniac, given a lot of trouble to everybody after becoming a demon. And Indra had so much frightened about him. All the demigods were running away from him. And he gave enough pain to all of them. But finally in the battlefield, when he was going to leave his body, Vritrasura spoke certain things, and even Indra was in a shock, seeing that bhakti inside. And seeing that shock of Indra, Parikshit asked Shuga Brahmarshi, can you tell me the history of this personality, Vritrasura? How come such a big demon has got so much attachment for Krishna? He's asking this question in the Bhagavatam. You can read it through there. In the Bhagavatam, he's asking, Vritrasura is an asura by nature, and he has got that body, and in that asuric body he has given so much pain to others. He's fighting, and all his friends, if you read the list of the mentioned there, all of them are asuras, and they are fighting against Indra and the demigods, and demigods were frightened about him because he was so powerful. And after fighting the war, finally Vritrasura knew that Indra was going to kill him. And this story is not only in the Bhagavatam, it is in the Vedam as well. In the Vedam also this story comes, Vritrasura's story. It is one of the stories in the Bhagavatam which is present in the Vedas. All stories are not from the Vedam. Others are from the other Puranas. But one of the important stories in the Bhagavatam, Vritrasura's story, is in the Vedam also. It's given so much importance to it. That Vritrasura, who has got all the demoniac nature in him, he is asking this question, how come that Parikshit asking this question, how is that he is such a devotee? And the final word says, Aham Hare Tava Padai Gamulam Dasanu Daso Bhavidasmi Bhuyam Manasmarir Vamsugunar Gunamste Griniyava Karma Karoti Kayam Nanaga Prishtam Naja Parameshtyam Na Sarva Bhaumam Narasadipatyam Na yoga siddhi rabunar bhavamba samanja sattva virahaya kaankshe. There is 4 or 5 verses there where Vritrasura talks about going back to the spiritual world. So a demon who did so many demoniac things, fought with everyone, finally says, I want to go back to the spiritual world. Where did this desire come from? It is only to indicate to us that no matter whatever situation we are, because Krishna has injected that, this is what this verse is trying to indicate to us. Maharshaya saptapurve chatvaro manavastataha madbhava manasa jata yesham loka ima prajaha. Darwin won't be able to contradict this. He cannot say anything. Darwin's understanding is based on completely on observation of the species in this world, and to some extent he may have looked at different species at different times. But if you go in that direction, you won't get to know the truth. It is not possible. You have to get the truth from the authority. Krishna is saying to us that, and the proof of that is, No matter how much you try to suppress a society, how much you try to suppress a society and try to prove to the society God doesn't exist, finally from that very society comes out people with the highest inquiry about the truth. We are always experiencing this in this world, is it not? In our own lifetime we have seen this. Whether in the communist regime they try to suppress these things. But when Krishna consciousness was spoken about it, more enthusiasm than anywhere else to take to spiritual life there. Same thing in America also, you have seen that. When the material life has come to such higher levels of enjoyment and sense enjoyment, finally the very same people who wanted to enjoy the material senses, they wanted to throw away everything and come back to inquiring about the truth. That is what we see again and again in this world, isn't it? So you can see here, no matter how sinful people are, this element is within them. Which one? What Krishna is saying here? Yesham loka yima prajaha. That seed is already there in them. It will never go away. To tell you the truth, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they are all very, very wicked characters, isn't it? Very wicked. The kind of things Hiranyaksha was doing, what Hiranyakashipu has done with Prahlada. But then, what does Narada Maharshi say? Narada Maharshi says, time and again, I go there to meet Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha because I like their association, he says. Why? Why does he say that? He says, Narada says here, they are always in the samadhi state. Because they kept on rejecting the Krishna's presence. For rejection also, you have to remember that, isn't it? Inside. You have to be aware of Krishna to such an extent. Only then you can deny Krishna. We have no problem because we don't remember Krishna. And we don't want to deny Krishna also. We don't want to accept Krishna's existence. But Hiranyakashipu was not like that. Hiranyakashipu was always denying Krishna's existence, fighting with Prahlada about this and with all others who were present there in the palace. Hiranyakashipu's nature was like that, constantly denying Krishna's existence. Sri Narada Maharshi says, every time when I went to see him, Hiranyakashipu was in a samadhi state. Samadhi state means this, that always in thoughts of Krishna. That samadhi state, he says here. So, he says, when I go and meet other great sages, whatever happiness I felt that same thing in the association of Hiranyakashipu. He mentions this in the Bhagavatam. He puts it like this, that he says here, that although externally he may say, I want to see Vishnu, I want to kill Vishnu, all kinds of statements he was making, but inside he was always in the meditations. So, he has no other thoughts about the world. That is what is important there. Hiranyakashipu was not thinking about the world very much. Most of his thoughts were centered around Krishna. In our case, all the thoughts are centered around the world, isn't it? What's going to go on here? What will happen tomorrow? And that is where the problem is. So, he says here that Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, if you look in the third canto, you will see, Sambrambham, Sampradam, Samadhi, Anubhaddayogauhu. In the third canto, somewhere in the third canto, this line will come. Sambramba, Sampradam, Samadhi, Anubhaddayogauhu. It is in the third canto. I think it is the time when Hiranyaksha's his story is spoken in the Bhagavatam. You will find this. Third canto. In the third canto. Sambramba, Sampradam, Samadhi, Anubhaddayogauhu, he says. What does this mean? It means Samrambham Sampradha Samadhi Anubaddha Yoga. This is called Samrambha Yoga. Samrambha Yoga means to think about Krishna not in a favorable way but in an inimical way, but due to that continuous absorption in that, thoughts about Krishna, feeling Samadhi from that. A state of Samadhi comes from that. That is what it is. Samrambha Sampradha Samadhi Anubaddha Yoga. So, therefore, people whom we call atheists, Nastik, isn't it? Atheist people, also you can't trust them. They will say they are atheistic and all that. Nobody is atheistic here. And externally they may say they are atheist and all that. But if you observe them very clearly, carefully, you will notice that he cannot become an atheist. It's not possible. Because it's not possible, if you have life inside, you cannot become an atheist. If there is life inside, you cannot become atheist. You can talk about it with your tongue, that I am an atheist and declare things like that. But the more you become an atheist, he will become the best devotee. He'll become a best devotee. Because he will go through the whole root circle and come back to this again. Because in everyone inside, Krishna has put this seed. What is that? The rishis and the Kumaras and the Manus. The rishis means Sananga, Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat, Kumara, the four rishis, and the 14 Manus, and their seeds have been put in, Saptarishis also, their seeds have been put inside us by Krishna, inside everyone. So no matter how much one keeps on saying that I am atheist, finally he has to come back to this. He has no choice in there. And that's why they call it as the reverse evolution theory. Other side. The reverse side of the Darwin's theory. It's the reverse evolutionary theory. Darwin says, science is saying we have come from the monkeys and all that, isn't it? That's see. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us, you have not come from the monkeys, you have come from Krishna. We have come from Krishna and the sages. We didn't come from the monkeys. That is the lesson. So what we want to accept, that's our choice. It's left to us. Whether to accept it, we have come from Krishna or we have come from the monkeys. It is not, but looking into the life in this world, you again and again you observe this, that when the so-called advanced civilization, finally when it reaches its peak, it wants to go back to spirituality again. Inquiry begins there again. Somewhere in the society you will see people taking your spiritual life seriously. From nowhere it comes. Somewhere. And that arrangement is already there in Prakriti. Krishna's arrangement is always there to bring the right person, to meet to the right people, and that desire building up inside to realize the truth that comes from that. That is why it is spoken like that. So whether we have taken birth from the monkey or whether we have taken birth from Krishna, that is up to us. And that you can see, the way we act, you can see from there, you can make the decision. So, if we have taken birth from Krishna, if you are taken from Krishna, and if you developed, accept that, it is possible to go back to Krishna. It's possible to go back to Krishna. But if you keep the monkey as the source where we have come from, I don't know whether it's possible to go back to Krishna in that way. Once it so happened that in an ashramam or in a where sannyasis were talking about it. So, the Swami who was talking, Bhagavad Gita was discussed in the ashram there. So, he mentions there, in a jokingly was saying this, that this question is always there, whether we have come from the sages or whether we have come from the monkeys. So, there was one sannyasi, there were many sannyasis who were present there. So one sannyasi said this about the Swamiji there. He said the Swamiji in charge here, he says it doesn't look like that he has come from the sages, he said. He referred to the sannyasi who was in charge of the ashram. He mentions about him that this particular person doesn't look as though he has come from the rishis, because they were discussing Bhagavad Gita. He mentions like this. So others asked him, why do you say like that? He says, I can tell you because when I see him, that's how it appears to me. He says, why do you say like that? He says, whenever I look at him, he has got a bunch of keys on his dhoti tied here. All the bunch of keys, he says there. So he says like this, he says he is a monk, but all the keys are with him and he has to be a monkey, he says. So he connected with that, monk with the key, all the keys. So why does the Swami need so many keys? Because Swami is feeling that he is possessing so much. That is why, he said, the monk with the key is the monkey, he said. So there has to be a monkey, otherwise it can't be otherwise. So like this you can see that the if we have come from the rishis, if we have, as Krishna is saying here, that malbhavo manasa jadaha yesham loga ima prajaha, yesham loga ima praja, all living entities. Particularly, praja means referring to human species. Yesham loga ima prajaha. All human species has come from Krishna through the rishis, through the saptarishis, through the kumaras, and through the manus. And we are inheritance, that name also, man, isn't it? Man has come from that. If it is like that, that qualities of Krishna must be there in us. isn't it? And what is the quality of Krishna? Not Krishna consciousness in that way. Quality is this, that awareness of the truth, which Krishna is the Chit Shakti, isn't it? Which is present in us as Satya Chitta Anandam. So therefore that awareness is inside every one of us. And it has to act at some point or the other. And that is why Krishna is saying here that, so but this sixth verse, Maharshaya Sapta Purve. So, therefore, Krishna says here, for everyone, Krishna says, I am that source. I am that source from everything, Ishvara. It is from that position Krishna is saying. As I mentioned yesterday, sometimes when Krishna speaks as Antaryami. Sometimes when Krishna speaks, he speaks as Ishvara. Sometimes he speaks as Brahman. That depends, you have to know in which circumstances it was spoken. Here, Krishna is speaking as Ishvara. As Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtani. He says, Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvara Manavastatha Madbhavo Manaso Jata Yesham Loka Ima Prajaha. After saying this, Krishna says here that I am the origin from whom all of them have come, and I am the root of all these things, and I am the place where they can all come back also. And one who knows that, he understands it properly. And that's the next verse. Etam vibhuti yogam cha mamayo veti tatvataha sovikampena yogena yujyadenatra samshayaha etam vibhutim yogam cha mamayo veti tatvatah sovikampena yogena yujyadenatra samshayah. So earlier Krishna spoke about many qualities, isn't it? Starting with the verses 4 and 5. That was buddhi, jnanam, asamoham, kshama, satyam, damam, shamam, sukham, dukham, bhavam, abhavam, bhayam, abhayam, ahimsa, samada, tushti, tapo, danam, ishasya, bhavandi, bhavo, bhudanam, matta eva, patakvida. Mentions many things. Krishna said, all of them come from me, from Antaryami, in other words. After saying that, Krishna says that these qualities, what he has spoken there, that when a person makes contact with the Antaryami, automatically the Antaryami will release all these qualities to him. With Antaryami's help, you can have it. For that purpose, you have to do Antaryami Upasana. Antaryami Upasana. Chanting the holy name, everything is a part of Antaryami Upasana. It is not that when we say we are addressing, chanting the name, addressing Krishna means you are actually addressing Krishna who is present within the heart. That's where you are addressing to Krishna. And therefore, if one follows that process, ultimately what will happen is Antaryami, when he releases these divine qualities in a person, he becomes a jnani. He realizes the truth. That is what it says. So, and those who have been given originally these qualities, the first time, they are the four Kumaras, the 14 Manus, and the 7 Rishis. 14, 7 plus 4, 25 altogether. 14, 7 and 4. So those 25, which was spoken in the verse, sixth verse, Maharshaya Saptabhuve Chatvaro Manavastatha Madbhava Manasa Jara Yesham Loka Ima Prajaha. Krishna is saying it is from them all others. Other praja, all other human species have come from that. And the proof is, Krishna is saying that because they have come like that, that quality will never leave them. Inquiry for spiritual life and going back to the spiritual world, it will never go. So, if it is like that, so in this verse, Krishna is saying in the seventh verse, that this vibhuti, this is called vibhuti. Krishna's manifestation is called vibhuti. So, one who knows about this vibhuti yogam, he says, and he says here, that evam vibhuti yoganja mamayo veti tattvada. This tattvam, tattvada. Sometimes Krishna uses this word tattvada, isn't it? You know, janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tattvada, he says. That is a tattvam, the principle behind it. If you take that principle, so we come paena yogena. So in other words, one who understands it, in other words, with this principle, tattvam, properly, such a person with that proper knowledge, his yoga state, Krishna says, is not dependent on any meditation or anything. On the other hand, whatever he does in this world, avikampena yogena, Krishna says. In avikampena yogena means there is no vikampam. Vikampam means any kind of disturbances in there. It's very steady. Avikampena yogena. That yogasthiti, without any movement, he comes to that state. Yogasthiti, sahajasthiti or nirvikalpasthiti, he will have, it will happen to him. That is what Krishna is saying here. That if you edam vibhuti yogancha mamayo veti tatvada, so avikampena yogena yujade natra samshaya. Commentary on that, Bhashyam. Edam yathoktam vibhudim vistaram yogam cha yuktim cha almano ghatanam adhava yogam aishwarya samarthyam sarvajnyatvam yogajam yogamuchade mama madhiya yo veti tatvadaha tatvena yathavad idi etat. Krishna says that this yoga principle, that means my constitution, Krishna's constitution, how Krishna is, and Krishna's capabilities, and Krishna's all-knowing capacity, the sarvajnyatvam, all these things, yogajam, one who knows that properly, such a person, that sa avigambena aprajalidena yogena samyak darshanam saira lakshanena yujyade sambadhyade na atra samshayaha na asmin arthe samshayaha asti. In other words, such a person who has come to that state, tatvajnanam, in other words, proper realization of this truth, such a person who is firmly fixed in that and his yoga state is so strong that he will become one with me. He'll become one with me. In other words, he will develop all the transcendental qualities as Krishna has developed the, such transcendental qualities will manifest in him. Becoming one means they will realize the truth. That's all it means. Doesn't mean that physically we become one with Krishna. That's not what it means. What it means is that that same transcendental qualities will come to that person. That is why we are called it jnani. That's why Krishna said earlier, whenever jnani speaks, his words are as good as mine, Krishna says, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita you will see earlier that jnani twalpaiva me madam, one place Krishna says. Jnani twalpaiva me madam, astik. Earlier in the 4th or 5th chapter, Krishna says, they are not different from me. Why they are not different? Whatever they speak is coming from the truth, from the source, from the very source. Because it's coming from the source, their words are as good as mine. That is principle. Jnani twalpaiva me madam, in the earlier. So, we have seen here, from the verse, from the third one on, that you can see, yomam ajamanadim cha veti lokamaheshwaram asammuda samartyeshu sarvababai pramuchyade buddhyarjnanam asammoham kshama satyam dama shamaha sukam dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha abhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushti tabo danam yasho yashaha bhavandi bhava bhutanam mata eva pradagvidaham. Then, Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatwaru Manavastatha Madbhava Manasa Jada Yesham Loka Ima Prajaham Edam Vibhudi Yogam Cha Mamayo Veti Tatvadaha Sovigam Bena Yogena Yujyade Natra Samshayaha. So, this whole discussion from verse 3 to verse 7, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7, Krishna is reminding us about our Swarupam through that. Our Swarupam. In other words, whatever that reminds us about our Swarupam. Why did Krishna say all these things? To remind us that we are not this body what we think we are. To take us back to our pure state where we have come from. We have come from the great sages and the Manus and the Rishis. That is where all these human species has come from. And Krishna is saying to us, it is only to remind you what your original, where you come from. That's why he has spoken all these things. Antaryami principle he has spoken to tell us that from Antaryami I release all these qualities to those who have taken shelter of the, who have done the Antaryami Upasana, in other words. So, so when our attention goes inward and when our drishti, our vision turns antarmukham, antarmukham means inward looking, and it all comes out with a very special force, it comes out, and that is what is called vibhuti. Vibhuti is that, what Krishna refers to here. So, everything, Krishna says here, everything in general, he mentions here, some of them in a very broad sense, some of them in a very special sense. And that is why it's called vibhuti. So, before Krishna is talking about the vibhuti, he spoke about his swarupam. Can you observe that here? In these verses, before he started talking about these vibhutis, vibhutis are going to come afterwards. But before talking about vibhuti, Krishna spoke about the swarupam. Swarupam means the spiritual nature of the living entities and Krishna. Krishna's spiritual nature, our spiritual nature. Both is spiritual. We are spiritual by nature, isn't it? We are spiritual by nature. If you look into the 7th chapter, Krishna mentions that, isn't it? What does he say? The apareyam idastanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam. Jivabhutam belongs to that paraprakriti. Jivabhutam mahabaho edam dharyate jagat. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there. That 7th chapter is an important chapter where Krishna mentions that the apareyam idastanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bodham mahabaho yayedam daryate jagad. Fifth verse. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty Arjuna, there is a superior nature of mind, which are all living entities. So Krishna's nature is superior. Our nature is also superior. But what is the difference, he says here, which are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe? That we don't have to look at it now. We have discussed that at the time when we discussed the 7th chapter. But by nature, our swarupam is superior nature, not inferior nature. It's not matter, it is spiritual, isn't it? Our swarupam is spiritual. So it is prior to that Krishna talked about the 5 material elements. He summed up everything together. Bhumi, Apam, Analam, Vayu, Kham, Manam, Buddhi. All 8 things, he said, added to that mind, intelligence and false ego. He combined all these things and he said, this is all Apara Prakriti. If you take up all that from us, what's left behind is Krishna. Jiva. What we address as Jiva, but Antaryami inside, that's what's left, isn't it? Antaryami is there and all the other 5 material elements are there and the mind, intelligence and false ego. So all those 8 things, if you take it out, what's remaining in us is Antaryami. That Antaryami, Krishna is saying, is superior by nature, which he is addressed here as Jiva. In the Bhavam, at the moment of the Antaryami is Jiva, Jiva Bhavam. When the Jiva Bhavam goes away, it comes back to Krishna's same position. But nature is superior nature, not to the inferior nature. So having said all that, Krishna says here, first he spoke about his swarupam here in these verses. Swarupam was discussed before talking about the vibhutis, before talking about the vibhutis. That's why he says, ajam anadim cha. He uses the 2 words there, isn't it? Krishna is ajam, Krishna is anadi. We are also ajam, we are also anadi. That is our swarupam, it's not different. We are also ajam, we are also anadi. Krishna is also ajam, Krishna is also anadi. We have seen that before, isn't it? So, ajam anadim cha veti. Know that, Krishna says. Know that it is ajam and it is anadi. What does it mean? It has no birth, it has no death. And its swarupam is same as Krishna swarupam. So, if it is realized, then that illusion goes away. And one who has lost, got that freedom from that illusion, Krishna says, asam modasam arteshu sarva papai pramuchyade. If he has realized that, then he is released from all sins. There is no more sins or sinful reactions after that. After that, there is no sins or sinful reaction. Because he has realized it. What is that? Yomam ajamanadim cha veti logamaheshwaram asammooda samartyeshu sarvabhavai pramuchyate. He is completely released from all sinful activities. Why? Because soul has no sinful reactions. Sinful reactions, pious activities, sinful activities, and the results and all that is for the subtle body. For the subtle body, isn't it? But one who has realized the truth, there is no subtle body existing. There is nobody to experience the result then anymore. Sinful reactions, there is nobody there. Where is the person's gone? There is no subtle body to experience. That's why it is spoken like that. So therefore, Krishna says, asammoodasamartyeshu sarvabhavai pramuchyate. In other words, Krishna consciousness and our pride, false ego. Krishna consciousness means knowledge. Krishna consciousness and our pride cannot stay in one place. They cannot stay together. They cannot stay together. So once this pride has gone inside, ego has gone away from inside, that means sarvabhavai pramuchyate. Sinful activities, sinful reactions have also gone along with that. That is why in the four verses after that you will see that that Krishna mentions there, that which takes birth from the mind and that which manifests in the body, various activities, chittavrittis, thought processes, Krishna says it's all born from me. Which one? Buddhi, jnanam, asammoha, kshama, satyam, dama, shamaha, sukham, dukham, bhavo, bhavo, bhayam, cha, abhayam, eva, cha, ahimsa, samata, tushti, tapodanam, yasho, yashaha, bhavandi, bhava, bhutanam, matayeva, prudakvithaha. So those two verses Krishna is referring there, that everything that takes birth in the mind and everything that manifests in the body, all of them are chittavrittis. They are thought waves that is developed inside and that comes from the antaryami inside. Krishna has mentioned that. That because mind takes birth from Krishna, isn't it? From the soul, mind has taken birth. If you inquire about the mind, you won't find the mind. Where is the mind? Nobody has found out so far where the mind is. And if you ask somebody, what does mind mean? We will say that due to our jnanis, this is the jnanis point of view, jnanis are saying, due to our ignorance in us, due to our ignorance in us, and due to our conception that we are a jiva, conditioned soul, with the ego, all because of that, a force is generated inside, and that is called mind. Only when we identify with the body, which means with the ego. If you are identifying with the body, means there is ego, isn't it? So if you are identifying with the body, and if that identification is strong, the ego inside also will be very strong. The ego will be very strong inside. And that ego, Krishna is saying here, that when that ego becomes very strengthened inside, he is in a perfect jiva consciousness. Jiva quality, that is. That is why he is addressed as jiva. The word jiva itself has come like that. He has been, it's a manifestation of the false ego, of the reflection of the soul within the chittam, ahankaram. It's a reflection of that is what is called jiva. Jiva. And jiva state is not permanent. When we get released from the subtle body, jiva also disappears. When that subtle body disappears, jiva has to disappear. Jiva's place of residence is subtle body. So when subtle body disappears, jiva has to disappear. Krishna is saying here that due to ajnanam, avidya, this kalpana, jiva is a concept, that it is a force that has been generated from that jiva, which is called the mind. And from that jiva kalpana, conception of the jiva, that mind which has developed, and it can only function because it is tied down to the ego. Mind can only operate if it is tied down to the ego. You notice that also. Everything that comes from your mind is always linked to the ego. It's always linked to the ego. So, and it is inside this mind all kinds of thought waves and discrimination, everything happening here. So, mind itself was born from the soul. And if you ask the question, is there soul, is there mind inside the soul? No. Mind was born from the soul. But if you ask somebody, oh, is the mind always present in the soul? No. Mind is not present in the soul. It's a force that is generated from the soul, but mind has no permanent existence in the soul. Permanent existence in the soul. Actually, only soul exists. But we always say that mind gives me a lot of trouble, isn't it? I got mental problems or something like that. We say, in different ways we express our trouble. Sometimes we'll say directly, I got problems with my mind. We'll say like that. Some people will say like that. Some people will express it in a different way. They will show some black face or something like that. You can see they are having difficulties inside when you see their mind. They're troubling, dealing with the mind, they're finding it very difficult. So, if you ask the question, if there's a mind there in the soul, there is no mind there. But, when this chit-shakti, when the chit-shakti is working, operating inside, in there, this mind is functioning there, and mind has no place in the chit-shakti, although it has come from the chit-shakti. Atma's presence inside. Remember, we discussed this before. If you have not forgotten, it is good. That eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. This is the Atma's nature. Satta, Chitta, Anandam. Isn't it? Eternity is the Sat. And knowledge is Chit. And Anandam is the bliss. Satta, Chitta, Anandam. Isn't it? Satya Chitta Anandam. So this Chit Shakti is the thing from where our awareness is coming. Awareness is coming. Soul has got these three potencies. Satya Chitta Anandam. One potency is this eternity, eternal existence. I never die. I always will. I am always existing. There is no question of death. If somebody says to you, you will die tomorrow, you may accept it to the extent that body will die tomorrow, but you are not going to die. That is the reality. That is what exactly Shukabrahma Maharshi told Parikshit also at the end. That body has to go, let Tatshaka have it if he wants it. But you are not going to die. And that realization has come to him. So, Sat potency, our eternal nature, will never leave us. That is eternal we are. That eternity is in the soul. That qualification, that quality is present in the soul. Chit Shakti is the awareness. That is from where we get our awareness, consciousness in other words. That comes from that Chit Shakti. And Anandam is another nature of the soul, bliss. That is its pure nature. By purity, in pure state, soul is full of Anandam, full of bliss. So, having said that, Krishna says here that whenever the Chit Shakti is present, powerful, the mind also will come from there, and mind is a very powerful force that's operating from there. And it gives us a lot of difficulties also. But if you try to find out where is the mind inside us, you don't know where it is. You can't find it. So, whether you recognize it or you don't recognize it, still it'll give you trouble. It does give trouble, isn't it? If I say, no, I don't have any mind, and I revolt against that, still it doesn't leave me. It'll give me trouble some way or the other. So, if you recognize it, it'll give you more trouble. That is the nature of the mind. If you recognize the mind, it'll give you more trouble. If you don't recognize it, but it is difficult also not to recognize the mind, but it is always giving trouble. So, it is always there. So, Krishna says here that the if you hand over that mind, that is what, because where it has come from, if you can do that, then this problem you can alleviate to a large extent. In other words, when you hand over the mind to the intelligence, it completely cheats us, this mind. That is our experience. Say, for example, why we say you have to surrender to Krishna? If intelligence is everything, why don't hand over the mind to intelligence and be satisfied? But it's not working. Even if you hand over your mind to your intelligence, the result is always you suffer still. With all your intelligence, you try to control the mind, still you fail. Mind gives you problems, isn't it? Mind gives you problems. So therefore, all the Shastram, particularly Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, everything, Acharyas, everybody, has only one thing to tell us, that if you don't recognize the mind, and if you give attention to your Swarupam, which is your real identity, which is Atma, that is the only way the mind will disappear. Somewhere your attention has to be there. So if your attention goes away from the mind, and if it falls on the falls on the Swarupam, Atma, then the mind will, you can win over the mind. And not by any other means, through yoga process, or by anushtanam, or by sadhana, it is not possible to win over the mind. Sadhana, anushtanam, yogam, all these things, that's meant for chittashuddhi, for purification of the chittam, for purification of the subtle body. And it will take you up to a particular stage. After that, you cannot do anything about the mind. If you engage in sadhana, or any kind of severe austerities or penances or anything like that, anushtanam, or any kind of yoga process, all these things will help you to purify your subtle body. But complete control over your mind will not happen. Will not happen. Because what Krishna says here is that those things will take you up to a particular point in your spiritual life. After that, only through self-realization, you can completely wipe out the mind from inside. There's no other way. Actually, you don't win over the mind. What you do is you wipe out the mind from inside. So that is why that time the question will come like this, that what will happen at that time if the mind goes away? People have always this fear inside, isn't it? So that means, can we do any dealing in this world? Vyavaharam. Our transactions in this world will become difficult. And there will be no thought processes, because mind is always connected with the thoughts, isn't it? Chittavritti. Without that, how can we conduct our business in this world? It is not like that. Jnanis also, in their realized states, they conduct the business in this world. But what is the difference? When they conduct the business and when we conduct the business, there is a big difference. Difference is this. Because their realization that there is nothing that exists outside the soul, apart from, separated from the soul, that because it is so firm in their realizations, for them, material objects does not exist as it exists in our mind. All material objects, they exist in our mind in a particular way, isn't it? Suppose something is spoken about, like a car or a motorbike or some building, immediately an image is formed inside about that, the good side of it, the bad side of it. And without creating some ragadvesham, that object cannot go away from us. And because that object is creating ragadvesham inside, anything, doesn't matter, if it's an individual, a person, or if it is any material object in this world, as soon as it's spoken, it suddenly moves our mind inside, in some form. A movement happens inside. Ragam or dvesham, in one way or the other. In Jnani's case, because they know that no object in this creation is separated from the soul, no object can create any ragadvesham inside. In other words, even in their vyavaharam in this world, they are still able to operate without ragadvesham. Without ragadvesham, they are able to operate. Because nothing exists for them separated from the soul. That is the principle. That's all it is. In other words, we can see here, in their case, separated from the soul, the thing called mind never exists for them. And one who is in a materialistic consciousness, for whom mind is very, very strong, he sees everything separate, separate, separate. Everything is good or bad or middle, whichever way it is like this, isn't it? Like we say that mind is different, world is different, body is different, this is different, intelligence is different, soul is, the senses are different. All these separations, what we have done inside us, it is a kind of a Brahman. Science has developed that Brahman very well, isn't it? They have separated it out, everything so well, to such a fine level, and it is going on endlessly, this separation business. When they have, even the medical science, if you look, you will see that they have, over a period of time, they have developed this body broken into so many departments, isn't it? You can see how previously one doctor dealt with you. Now there is no more one doctor dealing with you. He's got a specialist for everything. He will refer to this. For the teeth, he will refer to someone. For the eye, he will refer to someone. For the nose, he will refer to someone. So they think by separating it, they are becoming more specialized. Vedantam says, by separating, you are not becoming specialized, you are getting more confused about it. That's Vedantic thinking. Vedantam says to us, they keep on breaking, and that you can see also, after so many years of medical research, and so many papers and books written on that, so many universities has conducted so many studies over it, they are still baffled about so many illnesses. They are not getting anywhere with it. They are still getting no answer, what's the solution, they don't have it. Because the more they break up, actually what's happening is the strength of the mind is growing inside. Whereas when the mind is taken out from that field, then it comes back to its original source, where it's coming from. That's all. So Krishna says to us, this mind is my first vibhuti, Krishna's manifestation in us. This mind is the first vibhuti. And so therefore, that is why, if you look, when Saundarya Lahari was written, there it says here, if you, verse 35, it says there, that what is this mind? Mind is nothing but a manifestation of the mother. Manifestation of the mother. In other words, manastvam vyomastvam marudasi marudasaradhirasi tvamavasastvam bhumi svai parinadayam mahi param tvameva swatmanam parinayamidam vishyavabusha chidanandakaram chidanandakaram shiva yuvadi bhavena vimashem manastvam vyomatvam marudasi marur saradirasi tvam abastvam bhumi tvayim parinatayam nahi param tvam eva swatmanam parinamaidim vishyavabusha chidanandakaram shiva yuvadi bhavena vimashem. Talking about the birth of the mind, how the mind was born, it's an important thing. In Saundarya Lahari, Ayyari Swamiji discusses this birth of the mind. He's talking about that. He's saying here how this breaking up business started. From creation, we have something to learn. Scientists, because they don't know anything about the creation, it's all speculation about the creation, isn't it? Because that is why their process is always ending up with confusion, more and more confusion. In the creation process, if you study, Acharya says here that manastvam vyomatvam, from the mind comes this sky. Sky came from the mind according to the process of creation. The sky, the space came from the mind. Yesterday we were talking about that, isn't it? You saw, you will never understand creation till you know time and space. How do you understand space? It's difficult to explain space to anyone. You ask the scientist, let them explain what space means. Okay, he can measure something and show it to you. 2 feet long, 3 feet wide, 2 feet deep and all that. But when you see the total creation, where is this creation present? It's present in the space. And we don't know how much is that space is. What is that space? How do you explain the space? Equally difficult is to explain the time. Time and the mind, both are products of the mind, time and the space. So, it is from this mind that the space has come. You know, if you study the third canto, you will see the process of creation. If you study there, the creation is discussed, Brahma Narada Samvadam. That's what it's all about. There it says here, from the mind comes space, and from the space comes the fire, air, and then the fire, and then from the fire, water, and from the water, earth. So, from a very subtle form, what exists is the mind. And it becomes grosser, it becomes the space. And when it becomes further gross, it becomes the air. And more grosser, it becomes the fire, and then the water, and then the most gross form is this earth. So when separation happened from the mind, it became more and more complex. But originally they all go back at the time of final dissolution, they all go back to the mind again. That is why if you look in the 12th canto of the Bhagavadam, when they discuss about devastations, Atyantika Pralaya means final devastation is all the material elements going back to its source, reverse flow, in the reverse direction, it's going back again. So, and where did the mind come from? It came from the Chit Shakti. So even if you study creation process, you will see, Krishna says that the world has come into existence because I have broken up like this and came out in this way. What we are doing now, we are further breaking it up to see whether we will find the truth. That's what we are doing now, isn't it? The medical science, what they are doing is, they are making it further and further breaking it to thinking that they will find the truth somewhere. That will not happen. That is why going back to the source where it came from is the way to find out where it has come from. And that only can happen when you get back to the soul. There is no other way. There is no other way. So that is what it says here. First, manastam vyomastam, first the mind. And that mind is spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge from there, it is addressing to Sri Parvati here. A personified form addresses Sri Parvati here. But she is spiritual knowledge personified. It's from her the mind has come. The mind has come. Parabrahma mahishim. That therefore, Atma's jaya. 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 In other words, that from the soul, the mind has come. From the soul, the mind has come. And it is not something separate from the soul. It's not something separate from the soul. And it is a special power which we don't know what it is, where it is located, but the power is there. That's all what we know about it. Therefore, it is an unusual power. Therefore, it is called Chit Shakti. The reason why it's called Chit Shakti is because it's a very unusual power which you cannot understand. And that Chit Shakti, Krishna says here, and as the first Vibhuti, which is one, this mind, as the first Vibhuti, or the and Sarvajnanam, all knowledge, Anubhuti, Swanubhuti, everything is experienced through that. Is experienced through that. So we will start in a few minutes again. It's 5 o'clock. Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatwaro Manavastada Madhava Manasajada Yesham Logaima Prajaham Yedam Vibhuti Yogamja Mama Yoveti Tatvada Sovikampena Yogena Yujade Natrasam Shayaham. So here Krishna mentions about this birth of the mind, that the mind is a vibhuti, is one other vibhuti of Krishna. So when Krishna is saying here, so vikampena yogena, avikampena yogena, Krishna says. Avikampena yogena means that he is no more movement inside. Avikampatva means that. Vikampana means a vibration inside. There is no vibration anymore inside. Avikampena yogena. Krishna is saying, all these things what Krishna has spoken, they are very subtle points what Krishna is making here. It may come to use at some time in life, come to understand this. For somebody make some benefit from that. But one thing to understand basically from all this is, by no technique you can get rid of the mind. There is no technique. No technique. By any technique, there is no technique in any yoga system possible to get the mind off. Wipe off the mind from inside. Because whatever technique or method, what you are using it, and you use that technique or method, for that particular time, the mind will stay quiet. And as soon as you take the technique off, the mind will start working again. This is the problem with the mind. Say from dhyanam, meditation process, and all that, if you manage to get the mind in control, as long as you are in meditation state, it's fine, it will stay. But the moment you lose that meditation, dhyanam stage, come out of it, then you've lost it. again the mind will start, straight away it will come into operations. So that is why it mentions, that's the basic principle, is here, that no, by technique or method it is possible to control the mind. As so, therefore, in the Bhagavatam also, that is mentions there, that when there is that, mind means what? Mind creates sangalpam, vikalpam. Two things comes, isn't it? Sangalpam, vikalpam. Sangalpa, vikalpam, mana. That is the definition. It creates one sangalpam inside, one thought wave, it develops inside. Based on the thought waves, options comes. One this way or that way. Thoughts goes in two different directions. So, whenever this duality comes from the thought waves, you cannot keep on a dual state and win over that. You cannot win that. Being in that dual state, it's not possible. Because mind is a very important subject to study. It's a very interesting topic. And if you go deeper and deeper trying to understand the mind, the problem is, this mind also you are trying to understand with your mind. That's the problem. That's why it doesn't allow you to get hold of it. In the Brihadaranyakanishad, you will talk about this in very detail. They talk about this. So, how will you win over the mind? There's only one way. It is just like the demigods and the demons, they are fighting each other, demigods and the demons. So, just like Jnani's process is that if you want to win the demigods, you become a demigod. That's the way to win the demigod. To win the demigods, you become Devo Bhudaha Devanam Tidhi. Dvaidam, as long as you have the Dvaidam inside, it's a very peculiar conception inside us, this duality. Dvandvam, you cannot win over being in Dvandvam. That is the most difficult thing. As long as there is Dvandvam, there is conflict. Conflict will develop within. Therefore, if the mind does not stay as the mind, instead it becomes the soul, spiritual in other words, then mind cannot function anymore as mind. It has come from the soul finally, isn't it? After all, it has come from the soul. So, if that spiritual nature comes to the mind, then mind will not create any difficulty. It's not a separate entity anymore as mind. That's the most important thing. It's not, it doesn't exist as a separate entity as a mind. That is the way the mind operates within everybody. And that's why mind gives us so much trouble. And mind creates all sorts of emotions. We trying to fix the mind. But the problem is, mind is totally dependent on the world outside. World has a lot of impact on the mind. The objects in the world, the people in the world, they all creates a vibration in the mind inside. So when you try to check the mind, these things, external factors, are operating there. And that is not in your control. Suppose sometimes you will try to study your own mind, but you are studying your mind with your own mind. Again, there is a problem there. You will never be able to understand yourself through the mind. This is one aspect of the mind. The other aspect is, that means external factors has a powerful influence on the mind, number one. Number two, we are not the mind, we are the soul. But due to our identification with the mind, that's the second problem. At no point in time, we are able to move outside the identification of the mind. So while identifying with the mind and trying to fix the mind, it's not possible. While you are identifying with the mind and then try to fix the mind, it cannot work. See the difficulty? First thing, everything comes from the outside, influences on the mind. As soon as, because that's the job of the senses, isn't it? To bring the world inside. That's what this great job senses are doing. So senses helps the mind to go into the world and to do its business, whatever it wants to do there. So external things have a powerful influence on us through the senses on the mind, number one. Number two, due to the permanent identification with the mind, because we are all on the mental platform, if not on the bodily platform. This is only two places we exist normally, mental platform or bodily platform. Rarely on an intellectual platform, but extremely rare that we go to the spiritual platform. The spiritual platform is purely theory for us at the moment. So as long as you are on the bodily platform or mental platform or even on the intellectual platform, it's all the mind that is behind it. And once you, when we say we are on the platform, means your identification with the mind is so good that whatever that is going on the mind will detect to you what you are going to react to the situation. It is a mind that is reacting to the situation. So these two problems, external factors that influences the mind and identification with the mind, are very serious problem. And when these two things are happening in a person, it is called in Shastram samsaram. See that word? Samsara dhava nanalidha loga tranaya karudya ghanakanattvam. The first verse in the Guru Ashtagam. What does it say? We keep saying samsaram, samsara, material existence. What is material existence? This is material existence. Material existence means very powerful mind operating under the influence. It's a slavery situation. It is a slave of the world outside, external world, and a slave of this identification with the mind. Soul has nothing to do with any of these things. It's totally independent from the mind. But we don't know that. In our awareness, it's not there. Awareness, what we have is this mind. We are identification with the mind. So therefore, when such a situation happens, and if you want to free yourself from the mind, the only escape route is, first you have to lose this identification with the mind and go back to the Swarupam again, what we are. In that situation, identification or external things will not have any effect on us. That's why self-realization is about. So, in other words, mind should not remain anymore as mind. Rather, it will come in the Bhikshu Gita in detail, all these things very nicely discussed. Bhikshu says this to whom? Bhikshu says, sang the song which Krishna says, which is called Bhikshu Gita. So there he mentions there, just like the gold turns into bangles, the chain, the rings, and so many other things. Gold, different kinds of jewelry is made from that. Similarly, from pure chit shakti, this this unusual force called the mind takes birth. And it starts thinking, it separates from the soul. That's the beauty of that. From the powerful chit shakti, pure chit shakti, this unusual power called the mind takes birth. And as soon as it takes birth, what it does is, it thinks it separate from the soul. It is separate from the, and separate from the soul. And it is in that state, all the other emotions like lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, competition, and all sorts of kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, all the ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion, all of them come from that. Once it is separated from the soul. After that only it can come from that. Not while in the soul. In the soul nothing happens. When this soul separates from, comes out from the soul separately, all these things get entry into that. And when it gets this identity with the chit shakti, and when that recognition comes inside, immediately at that moment, and this effect of the mind changes. In other words, it is the identification that makes the mind to accept all these things. Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, different kind of things, what we consider not very good, but we are fighting against it all the time. If you try to take up each one of them and start dealing with them, it won't work. Suppose I say, I don't want to be I want to control my anger, krodham, forever. I'll take one after the other and deal with them. It will not work. It's impossible. The only thing is that if we lose our identity with the mind and move to the spiritual identity, then it is possible. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam you will see there that this is Krishna's Hladini potency. Samvit Hladini, different potencies are mentioned there. That Hladini potency is Swanubhava Shakti. Krishna calls it as Swanubhava Shakti. Hladini means that you are able to experience yourself in your pure form. At the moment you are experiencing yourself as the mind, isn't it? And mind is not a pure thing. It's always polluted with all these bad emotions. So the same thing can change into another form, the mind, which can turn into Chit Shakti in its pure form. And the different names are given in the Shastram as Chit Shakti or Chit Srotas. Chit Srotas. And that Chit Srotas is, when the mind goes back to that state, is the first Vibhuti Krishna is talking about. Krishna says here, it is from that Chit Srotas, Chit Srotas or Chit Shakti, that these Saptarishis, the seven sages, the four Kumaras and the 14 Manus, they have come out. They have come out from that. When the mind, in our case, I'm saying, our case, when the mind takes birth from the Chit Shakti, and when it gets influenced by the emotions, like Kamam, Krotham, Lobham, Mohammadam, Malsaryam, all these things, whatever that takes birth from us, it will have those qualities. Those emotions will get transmitted through them. Krishna is saying, when the rishis were born, four Kumaras, 14 Manus, and the Saptarishis, when they were born, that has come directly from the Chit Shakti without being contaminated by the mind. Contaminated by the mind. Mind is a thing which is a contamination. We call it as contamination because it accommodates all these bad things inside. It allows them to stay inside. Soul doesn't. And the mind, after, as soon as it's taken birth, first thing what the mind does is, it declares its independence. I have nothing to do with you, with the soul. And we get trapped in that and we identify with the mind. We have lost our identity with the soul. You can't simultaneously identify with the mind and the soul. That's not possible. Either you identify with the mind or you identify with the soul. Alpajnanam or Swanubhuti, self-realization, is completely losing this mind, completely going back to that state of the soul. So Krishna says here, all of the others are born from this, then why are we like this? If all the Saptarishis and the sages and the Manus, if they are all born from that pure Chit Shakti, how come we have become like this? We have seen before, we have all come from these sages, isn't it? So part of the sages is still in all of us. It is there in all of us. And whatever we may forget it. We will forget so many things, and we are finding difficult to find out that source where we came from. But the gene is still there in us. In somewhere it's there in all of us. Krishna is saying here, that's why he's mentioned here, Yesham Loka Imaha Prajaha. Yesham Loka Imaha Prajaha. Krishna is saying to us that at no point you may have got all these things in you, but that is in the subtle body. The soul on pure form is still completely free from all these imperfections and impurities. Yesham. So, but he says, because all these things are present there, calling someone as a sinful person is wrong. Is wrong. That is why Upanishads will never call anyone sinful. What does Upanishads address? Upanishads address Amrutasya Putraha. You are all sons of immortality. Why? Upanishads recognizes that we all have that purity element in us. Which one? The purity element of the sages is present in us. It doesn't recognize. You may have all the other bad qualities, but that is in your subtle body, not in you. It is in your subtle body. Therefore, Upanishads, when they address, never in any Upanishads you will see, you people are all very sinful, pavi, pavi, or anything like that. There is no pavi as far as Upanishads are concerned. There is no pavi. Everyone is, even the murderer or who has committed a lot of crimes, he has done that because under the influence of the strong mind and under the influence of the modes of nature which has affected his mind. That is why Krishna is very careful when he talks in the Ekadasha Skandam that three modes of material nature is in the mind and intelligence, not in the soul. Remember that? In the 13th chapter, Sattvam Rajastama Iti. What does he say? He mentions there these three modes of meditation. Why Krishna says that again and again, repeatedly telling us it has nothing to do with you. The three modes of material nature, if you look into the 13th chapter, he begins with that, isn't it? In 11th canto, he says that is the Hamsa Gita beginning like that. Sattvam rajastamayiti guna buddher na chalpana. Very explicitly Krishna mentions that. Sattvam rajastamayiti sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. The three modes of material nature. Iti guna buddhe. Buddhe means in buddhi. In other words, in the mind. Mind is generally the term used for everything together. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chitam, all is completely covered in this one word, mind. So, sattvam rajastamayidi gunam buddher. Again, to make it very clear, Krishna says, na chalpana, it's not in the soul. It's not in the soul. Sattve anyadamo hanyal sattvam sattvena chaivahi. Because he wants to be very clear about this, that is this point Krishna is again mentioning here, that in our spiritual identity, because we have come from the sages, we have come from the Manus, we have come from the Kumaras, that has not gone away, that is still there in us. What has happened to us is that due to the modes of nature which has infected the subtle body, we feel that we have no connection with Krishna. We feel that we are products of the material nature. We feel that the false ego is the most important thing, the identification with the mind and the false ego. So that is why Krishna says that that gene of the sages is still present in every one of us. Esham loka ima prajaha. So amrutasya putraha, you will see in the Upanishad, shrunanda vishve amrutasya putraha. It is Shedashvadra Upanishad, it mentions Shrunanda Vithi Shrunanda Vishwe Amrdasya Putraha. Shrunanda Vishwe Amrdasya Putraha. We are all children of immortality. Immortal Amrdasya Putraha. That is the gene actually in us. Not the gene of the anger and greed and lust and all other sinful things, what we consider bad things. They are not in us. And we are all belong to that dynasty of the sages, that Krishna says here, yasham loka ima prajaha, all the population has come from that. So, where did they come from? This you can see, even in the deity worship, it is there, in a very, 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 very subtle level. Very ancient temples, for example, in Chidambaram if you go, Chidambaram is a very ancient temple. The pujaris there, they all have this, because from the time when Chidambaram temple has come into existence, which goes back into we don't know how many years, many, many thousands and thousands of years, that Patanjali wrote his Yoga Sutram there. So you can imagine how all long ago that is. And in that Chidambaram temple, the devotees who do the deity worship there, they all been told that they have come from Kailasam, from Lord Shiva's abode. And therefore, when a new child is born in that family, the whole family members bring the child in front of Lord Shiva there and tell the baby, look at the granddad showing to Shiva. That's how they show it to him. Look at the granddad, he is standing here. That's how they introduce him. That's the connection they feel inside with the deity there. And it is very strong in them. They won't say, oh, look at the deity or look at Lord Shiva. No, they say, look at the grandfather who is standing inside, says to him. So from this you can see that Maharshaye, as far as Krishna is concerned, we have all come from the sages. So therefore, we have to have a word with Charles Darwin. Please don't call us anymore that we have come from the monkeys. That's a real offense to tell us like that. You can do your research and everything, as like Prabhupada said once about that. He said, maybe he has come, but I have not come from the monkeys, he said. That was how Prabhupada said that. He said that he spoke a lot about that. He said at one point that, look, he doesn't want to discuss this anymore, because he said, as far as I am concerned, Vedic literatures are concerned, Bhagavad Gita is concerned, our tradition is that we come from, all human species come from the sages, not from the monkeys. Now, if they have found something else, maybe it is different. But So that power is our source. That's the source from where we have all come. So that source, that when we recognize that source, and when we realize that source, and you will also know that the whole creation has also come from the same source. So in other words, there is nothing in this creation which is separated from Krishna, which is separated from Krishna. So we see Krishna in different names and forms. That's all, Namarupam, isn't it? For example, whatever we see is that same thing, vastu, from where everything has originated. Just like we see, look into the world, we see something like things like the stones, the earth, everything. Intelligence knows that. Intelligence knows that this is a stone, this is wood, this is steel, and this is a mic, this is. All this intelligence knows. We don't need Vedam for that. What we need Vedam is to tell us, the stone is Krishna, the wood is Krishna, the steel is Krishna. This is where we require Vedam. Isn't it? We don't require Vedam to tell us this is mic, this is plastic, or this is a microphone, or this is a chair, table, wood, steel, all these kind of things. To tell us that, we don't need Vedam. That we know that. Our Ajnanam will tell us. But to know that this is Krishna, mic is Krishna, wood is Krishna, every object in this world is Krishna. Kam vayum agnim, that is what happens when realization comes. Kam vayum agnim salilam mahimcha janeshu sattveshu disho drumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yalkinja bodham pranamedananyaha. Pipalayana Maharshi says in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? No, Hari Maharshi says that. Hari says that when realization happens, nothing exists outside Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. To say that to us, we require Vedam. To say that this is wood and this is steel, we don't need Vedam. We know that. Our Ajnanam inside will tell us that this is steel and this is wood. But to tell us that this is all Krishna, that require Vedam. That's what the knowledge. And that requires Guru, that is Shastram, and Vedam, everything. So, what we know, because these things we know with our Prakrita Buddhi. Prakrita Buddhi means very impure intelligence. We know these things. To know these things separate is impure intelligence. Is impure intelligence. And what does it do? It creates duality inside. That's what it does, isn't it? When you know things separate everything, what does it do? It creates duality. Duality means, you know, how each one of them, each object in this world, it creates a feeling inside. Either in positive way or in a negative way. Ragam or dvesham. Good or bad. That is duality. So, very difficult to see any object, neither good or bad. If suppose you see a tree which you don't know before, anything about that tree, what will you say first thing? Oh, does it give any good fruits from the tree? If it's not giving any fruits, it's of no use to us. It cannot use it for firewood. What's the use, you will say, about the tree? Tree hasn't done anything to you. But still you will say the same remark about the tree, isn't it? A flower you see, as soon as you see the flower, does it smell? Yeah. If it smells, oh, there's no smell. Oh, what's the use of this flower? Some remark you will come out from inside, momentarily from inside. Spontaneously it comes from inside. Why? The effect of that flower inside you to create that ragadvesham you can see there. Either you will say, oh, the flower is very good, very nice looking. You will have some remark to say about that, about the beauty of the flower or the smell of the flower, whatever it is. If it has no smell, it's not looking very beautiful, you will make that remark also about the flower. So, if a tree and a flower can create this, what to talk about our human species if you meet with anybody? If a tree or flower, who knew very well that it won't harm you at all, it is standing there somewhere, and you are passing through, and seeing the tree, if you have made a remark, and if that is able to create a small ragadvesham inside, what to talk about we species, each other? How much ragam and dvesham we create within us, in our individual relationships, each other. And similarly with everything else in this world. So this is called dvandvam. Dvandvam. Anything that creates inside this duality, good, bad, friendly, inimical. With people we say like that, oh, he's a very nice person, we say. Somebody. Do you have to certify somebody? He's a nice person. But whether you like it or not, we'll say that. Oh, he's a very nice person. Or somebody else, oh, he's a demon. Because he is very demoniac, we say. Something. But all these things, when you come to the spiritual platform, they have no meaning. All these things have no meaning at all. They are all based on the mind and the senses, everything. On spiritual platform, even your best enemy is spiritual. Is still spiritual, isn't it? So, raga dvesham, liking, disliking, all these are movements of the false ego inside. Chalanam of abhimanam, it's called. Abhimana chalanam, they call it. Chalanam means the movement. Movement of the false ego inside is what comes out in the form of raga dvesham. That is all dvaitam. That is all dvaitam. If you look into Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna mentions this very clearly, straightforward, he says this. If you look at the 11th canto, in the second chapter, we have gone through that before, but I'm sure everybody is remembering also that, what we have discussed. In the second chapter, in the 11th canto, Krishna says, verse number 38, avidyamano pyavabhadi yadvayom dhyadurdhiya soptamano retho yathaham tal karma sangalpa vikalpagam mano budho nirindhya dhavayam tatasyal. That is that verse. We spoke about that verse in detail when we discussed that chapter. If you want to go back and listen to that. Avidyamano bi avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya soptamano retho yathaha tal karma sangalpa vikalpagam mano budho nirindhya dhavayam tatasyal. Avidyamano bi avabhadihi dvayo. Avidya's first thing is, it manifests in you and creates dvandvam, dvayo, duality, first thing it does. And then, dhyadurdhiya svapnamanoradhau yathaha. And once that becomes a meditation inside, this duality of a particular object or a person or anything, it becomes a duality inside. Svapnamanoradhau yathaha. And it will come in the svapnam and it become a mental manoratham. Manoratham, that means you are completely on the platform of the mind. Tal karmam sangalpa vikalpagam mano budho nirundhya dhabayam tatasyal. Tal karma sangalpa vikalpagam. Due to that, karmam will begin and based on the sangalpam and vikalpam, what it has created. The karmam will flow from that. Budho nirundhya abhayam tatasyal. Only when you are able to stop that. Nirundhya. Nirundhya means to stop it. Budho nirundhyat abhayam tatasyal. He says here, it is not there, but still you are feeling there is two. There is two things. So, everything has come from Krishna, isn't it? Everything come, when I say come from Krishna, means come from the soul. It's come from the soul. And everything has come from the soul, everything stays in the soul, and everything goes back to the soul. That means ulpatti, and it remains in the soul, and then layam, dissolution also happens in the soul. And Krishna is going to say now that the very reason for discussing this Vibhuti Yogam, this chapter, Vibhuti Yogam, that depending on taking the shelter of any of the Vibhutis, what Krishna has spoken here, it is possible to go back to the truth, where everything has come from. That's why these Vibhutis have spoken. Like you will see from now on, in many verses, Krishna will say, this is my Vibhuti. This is my Vibhuti. Talking about, like, he mentions the individual Vibhutis when he's going to talk later. That when you drink the water, I'm the taste of water, Krishna says. So one devotee asked Prabhupada, it is very difficult for me to understand this, he said. Prabhupada, what is the difficulty? He said, that he says, because I don't drink water. I don't drink water. Prabhupada asked him, what do you drink? He said, I drink beer. He said, He says, fine, no problem. When you drink the beer, if you feel some taste for it, that's me, Krishna says. Try to understand, start from somewhere. If you are in sad state, you have to start from somewhere, isn't it? So he said, you start from there, whatever you are drinking. Of course, here, because Krishna didn't want to discuss about beer, which beer and all that, what we are drinking. But Krishna said, general terms, as the civilized people who drink water, he says, if you are drinking water, the taste of water I am. Begin from there. So any vibhuti, what has been discussed in this vibhuti yogam, if you become very focused on that, from that realization can come, Krishna says. Realize the self that way. That is possible. That's what Krishna is mentioning here. Lot of things has mentioned. Brihal samam, tatha samnam, gayatri, chandasamaham, masanam, argashirshoham, mrudunam, kusumagara, dyudam, chalayadamasmi, goes on like this. Acharanam, agarosmi, dundam, samasiyasya, aham evatshayakalam, dadaham, ishadomakam, dandano, damayadasmi, like that. You'll see one after the other. Krishna says so many things. About the mountains, I am Himalaya. Like that, isn't it? Among the water, I am the oceans, I am Sagaram. Like that. And in the Bhagavatam also, you will see, we have seen that. Prahlada Chasmi Daityanam. Among the demons, I am Prahlada, he says. Daityas. I am Prahladam. And Mraganam Cha Mragendroham. Among the animals, I am Lion. Mragendroham. Vainadayascha Pakshinam. Among the birds, I am Garuda. We'll come to that later. So, why Vibhuti Yogam was spoken? Because we are in the world very much, unable to go inward looking. Krishna says we start from the world first. In the world, wherever you find any of Krishna's manifestations, which Krishna mentions here, if you hold on to that and taking it shelter, it is possible to go back to this experience of the self. Just like you hold on to one thread and going in the same way. From the well, when you want to take the water, sometimes put the bucket in with the rope and you pull the rope and take the water out in the same way. From the jadam, world is jadam, isn't it? All these things what is discussed here is jadam. Jadam means it is not chaitanyam. All the vibhudis, what is talked about here is jadam. Of all the vibhudis mentioned there, one vibhudi which Krishna mentions is very important is Aham Atma Gudakesha. That is the most important vibhudi of all vibhudis. What is that? Krishna present inside every living entity. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastida Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. So that is the first vibhudi, most important vibhudi. But Krishna mentions that even if you find that difficult, because it's from inside, anything in this world, what is spoken as vibhuti, if you take one of them seriously, even holding on to that, you can go back to Krishna. You can go back to Krishna. So from jadam, jadam means dead matter. All of them are dead matter, what is spoken here. Jadam, chaitanyam, jadam, isn't it? Chaitanyam means where there is living force. Jadam means there is dead matter, there is no life. The Himalaya, there is a jadam thing it is, isn't it? Himalaya mountain is jadam. Similarly, ocean is jadam. Similarly, many things mentioned here is all jadam. But from that jadam thing, Krishna says it's possible to go to chaitanyam, to the living force. So you need from jadam darshanam, from the jadam or the matter to go to the living force, you need a midpoint between there, and that is got this vibhuti. That is what is this vibhuti. And that vibhuti is what Krishna is going to start discussing in this chapter now. So let us look at the next verse, which is the eighth verse. It is an important verse. Now, these four verses from now, that means 8th, 9th, 10th and 11th, these four verses, they are called the Chatushlogi, four verses of the key verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like we say, the Aham Eva Sam Eva Agre, the Chatushlogi Bhagavadam, the four verses, These four verses in the Bhagavad Gita has been given a significance, a special significance they have. When we discuss it, you will see there. So, he'll say here that Krishna mentions that, let's go back before that. Edam vibhuti yogam cha mamayo veti tattvada so avigampena yogena yujyade natra samshaya. Krishna says that we have seen also before that tattva jnanam of these verses are important, he mentions there. That tattva jnanam means to see things as they are. That is called tattva jnanam. One way of saying tattva jnanam, people ask this question. Whenever Krishna mentions tattvam, people ask this, what does tattvam mean? Often this question comes. I don't know whether you had that experience. If you have spoken to devotees, they will always ask this question. Especially with reference to many verses in the Bhagavad Gita where word tattvam comes. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvada. Tektual deham punar janmam neidima medhi sorjuna. Isn't it? So, devotees ask this question, Janmam karma cha me divyam. My Krishna's appearance and Krishna's activities. One who knows in tattvam, then when he gives up the body, he doesn't have to come back. Tektua deham punar janma nedi mamedi. You come back to me, Krishna says. So, we always think, what does this tattvam mean? And in another place, Krishna says there that even in that verse, in relationship with the spiritual master, there is this tattvam, isn't it? Tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. So what does that mean, tattvam? So this tattvam, this word keeps coming back in Bhagavad Gita in so many places. This is one or two places we have mentioned now. There are so many other places. If you look into Bhagavad Gita verses, you will see tattvam appears in so many places. And everybody asks this question, what is this tattva jnanam? What is this tattva jnanam? Tattva jnanam means to see things as they are, in its pure form, what they are, what it is. Then that means any tattvam, when it comes under the jurisdiction of prakriti, material nature, immediately prakriti interpret that in another way. Do you understand? Prakriti interprets tattvam and puts it to us. That is why it doesn't appear in front of us as it is, due to the influence of Maya. Maya or prakriti, what it does is, it interprets the tattvam to us. Let's just say, Krishna is standing in the temple as a deity. It is Krishna. There is no doubt about that for the realized soul. But prakriti, what it does, it tells us, after all, it is marble, isn't it? So, who does the interpretation? Prakriti does that. Prakriti puts it in front of us as marble. Whereas, that deity in the temple is Krishna. Archavadaram it is called. Krishna's appearance is for archana purpose. He has appeared as in front of us in that form as archavadaram. So, archavadaram is the deity, but Maya, Prakriti, interpret that and puts it in front of us as this is marble. That is what the interpretation means. Everything in this world, if you look, in the same way, prakriti, because of prakriti's interpretation, it creates a different experience in us and we don't get to know the tattvam. We don't get to know the tattvam. That is why all material objects, when you see them different from Krishna. When tattva jnanam comes, that's all Krishna. Everything is Krishna. That is the difference. For Hari Maharshi, Khambayum agnim salilam mahim cha janeshu sattveshu disho drumadin saril samudramscha hare. All five material elements, the oceans, the mountains, the sky, the stars, the moon, the sun, everything, he is saying to us, hare shariram, it is Krishna's body. That is tattva jnanam. That is tattva jnanam. For us, it's all separate, isn't it? Ocean is separate, sea is separate, rivers are separate, mountain is separate, hills are separate, stars are separate, sun is separate, moon is separate, everything separate. That is avidya, ajnanam. That is no tattvajnanam. So tattvajnanam means to see things in its right way, as they are. In reality, they are Krishna's body. But what we perceive there is not as Krishna's body. We don't see it as Krishna's body. We see it as all separate. So that is what tattvajnanam means. So Krishna is saying, janma karma jami divyam evam yo veti tattvada. When we understand, when we realize it, Krishna's appearance, what it means, and when we realize what Krishna's pastimes are, that is how we have to see it. Janmam karmam, Krishna's appearance, Krishna's pastimes. Evam yo veti tattvada. In tattvam, if you understand, then you don't come back. You don't get birth again. You don't have to reappear again. So this question will always be there in everybody's mind. That what does this tattvam, what does tattvajnanam mean? So generally, tattvajnanam means that to seeing things as they are. To seeing things in its pure form. Pure form is not seeing as they are doesn't mean what we see through the eyes. No, in its original state, what it is supposed to be seen, in what form it has to be seen. So, in order to interpret things like this, everything, in a particular way, material nature has put something in us, and that is called the brain. It is this brain who does this job, and that is Prakriti. Brain has come from the Prakriti, isn't it? Soul has come from Krishna, brain has come from Prakriti. Prakriti, through this brain, it interprets everything. And Prakriti is telling me that this is Mike, this is not Krishna, this is Mike. Prakriti tells me this is not wire, this is not Krishna, this is wire. This is floor, this is table, this is lights. Prakriti is telling me. Through the thing called the brain. It does like that. So what does the brain do? Brain tells me this is chair, this is table, this is this person I like, and this person is troublesome, I'll keep away from him. And you should not go up to that person because he's not a good man. And this is woman, this is man. And all these interpretations, who does? The brain does. And where does brain belong to? The Prakriti. Prakriti belong to. So, Swanubhava, the Rishi, the sage is telling us, Tvam Stri Tvam Purusha Nadaha Kumaraha, that you are not man. Realized soul is saying to us, you are not man, you are not woman. You are not a boy, you are not a girl. You are not a boy, you are not a girl. And Vishodo Mukhaha, actually you are the world, everything. Rishi is saying to us, so you are actually, you are the boy, you are the boy, you are the girl, and you are the man, you are the woman, and the old man who is walking with the stick in the hand, that's also you. Everything is Krishna's manifestation. That is the Rishi who has realized the self. He is seeing it like that. So when you read Upanishad, and when Upanishad is making this statement, we start wondering, what is Upanishad telling us? Upanishad is telling us that you yourself is saying to, addressing us, Upanishad is saying to us, you are the boy, you are the girl, you are the woman, you are the man, and you are the old person who is walking with the stick. And you are the granddad, you are the dad as well. Everything is you. So for Rishi, for the sage, for the Rishi, he has his yoga stage is like that. He is in that yoga state. And when you reach that, that yoga state is called Aprajalita Yogam. And that Aprajalita Yogam is what Krishna is calling this as, here you will see in the last words, so Avigambena Yogam. It's the same thing. Avigambena Yogam. Avigambena means that chalanam or movement or vibrations is not happening inside in our mind. While seeing all the objects in this world, all the personalities in this world, always able to keep that state of oneness in everything. That it is Krishna who is present in that form, in that body, in that person, in that way. Aprajalita Yogam, another word used in the Upanishads, Krishna uses the word Avigambena Yogena, Avigamba Yogam, in other words. So here, this is not the same yoga system what you practice in the yoga institute, where they close their eyes and sit in the yoga posture and perform the yogam, isn't it? This yogam has to happen even when the eyes are wide open. That yoga system what you practice in the yoga institute is when your eyes are closed. Is it not? There you are practicing another form of the yoga process. But this yoga process, aprajalita yogam, as Krishna calls it, or avigampana yogam, this yoga system has to happen when your eyes are wide open. When your eyes are wide open. So, therefore, it is called avigampana yogam. Krishna uses the word as avigampana yogena. Avigampana yogena means in this yoga process, even when the eyes are open, you are in the yoga state. In that yoga process, you have to keep your eyes closed, isn't it? So that is Patanjali's Ashtanga Yogam goes in that way. That's a different process altogether. But when it comes to Jnanamargam, even when the eyes are wide open, you have to be in the yoga state. Which is two different things. I mentioned this also before. In Sringeri, there was one Abhinav Vidyatirtha, very famous sannyasi he was. From when a very early age in life, he was in this state. Nothing will distract him, his attention. He used to travel, walk sometimes. Sometimes he had to go on processions. When people used to take him on processions with the festivals and all that, situations like that. So even while even being taken away in the chariot, while he was traveling, a lot of people, you can imagine when a festival goes on, what all happens. Drummers will be playing. A lot of people will be dancing. All sorts of things happen during the festival time, isn't it? In the temple festivals. So he will be invited to sit on a chariot and the chariot will be moving along with this whole, what do they call it, the whole halagula, what's going on there. The noise and the sound of people and all sorts of people moving around here, there, everywhere. So even in that state, this Abhinav Vidyatirtha says that I'm not conscious of anything. What was going on? In that state also, he was able to withdraw himself. And while eyes wide open, he is not conscious of everything. And the same story, similar situation happens with Janaka Maharshi and Ashtavakra. That we have spoken before. Once King Janaka went to see Ashtavakra. Ashtavakra used to come to Janaka Maharshi's palace and they used to discuss this philosophy. And once Ashtavakra Maharshi invited Janaka to his ashram. King Janaka went there. So Ashtavakra Maharshi had few disciples there. Few disciples in the ashram. So those disciples, they were observing, like as usual everywhere, that disciples always keeps an eye on the guru, isn't it? What the guru is up to. This happened. So what they did was, when they saw that, why is our Guru Maharaj so concerned about this king? Maybe he wants something from him. Like the way our mind interprets, isn't it? Otherwise, why is he after him? When we are here in the palace, in the ashram to help do all this service, but he is busy inviting him to his ashram and is asking us to cook food for him and feed him and look after him and serve him. They didn't like it. Naturally, there were some problems there. Like in every ashram. So, there what happened was, Ashtavakra Maharshi noticed all these things. He sensed what was going on. So, Ashtavakra Maharshi kept an eye on them, what they were up to. So they were drying their cowpean outside. Brahmacharis, you see. That's their greatest wealth, isn't it? The cowpeans and the saffron dhotis, what they have in possession, they were drying it outside. Ashtavakra Maharshi and Janaka sat together and they had a long discussion. After that, Janaka left, and Ashtavakra Maharshi was feeling extreme happiness in that discussion with Janaka. Janaka is a realized soul. Although realized soul, he was conducting in the business of administering a kingdom, huge kingdom. And like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice that Shuga Brahmarshi talks about Janaka. Have you noticed that? If you read Sri Rama's, Lord Ramchandra's story there, let's look at that verse because it's important to understand who this Janaka we are talking about. He says there in the 9th canto, in the 13th and 14th chapter, if you look, you will see what Shuga Maharshi has to say about Janaka. What did he say? He says that, you look into the 13th or 14th chapter, he says there, about that family, who? Janaka's family. He says like this, that's the way, feed to that. Look at the 13th chapter, the last verse. That's a comment from who? Sudeva Goswami is making this comment. Etevai Maithila Rajan Almavidya Visharadaham Yogeshwara Prasadena Dvandvair Muktva Griheshwabhi. This is that qualification of that family. Which one? Sita Devi's tradition. Sita Devi. Sita Devi was born in that family, isn't it? Janaka's daughter, she is. And who is Sita Devi? Self, knowledge of the self personified is Sita Devi. In the Puranam, when it comes in Ramayanam, it comes as Ramchandra's wife. But who is she actually? She is Sita Devi, is knowledge of the self personified. Jnana Swarupini, she is addressed as. Subrahma, she says here, Etevai Maithila Rajan, all the kings in that family, Mithila, Maithila Rajan, they were Almavidya Visharadaha. In the knowledge of the self, they were specialists. Visharada. Visharada means they had the highest qualifications as far as the self-realization is concerned. Why? Yogeshwara Prasadena. Due to the mercy of Krishna. Yogeshwara is Krishna. Or Ramachandra, whichever way you take it, doesn't matter. Yogeshwara Prasadena, what has happened? Dvandvair Muktva Griheshwabhi. Interesting thing is, they were all householders. They were not sannyasis. All these kings in Janaka's family, they were all householders. But they were all completely free from dvandvam, from duality. From duality. Yogeshwara Prasadena Dvandvair Muktva Griheshwabhi. Dvandvair Muktva Griheshwabhi. This is the special nature of that Janaka family. And in Bhagavadam, Shukha Brahma, she gives this comment about Janaka. What does Krishna says? In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, what does Krishna says about Janaka? Janaka adaya, astito Janaka adaya. Krishna says, to get this certification in Bhagavadam from Shukha Brahma Rishi, and to get that certification in Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, it means something, isn't it? Astido Janakadeya, it mentions in the Bhagavadam, I don't know which chapter that is, but talking about, he says, in previous times, personalities like Janaka has practiced this knowledge of the self and made perfect themselves. So, coming back to this, you can see here that the that these avikamba yogam, after doing all the sadhana and all the self inquiry, what one has done, eventually you have to come to this state, but we have this doubt. Still, avikamba yogam, if it hasn't happened, the doubts can come. Doubts can come within us. This avikamba yogam, as I mentioned, the difference was, unlike the other yoga process, where you keep your eyes closed and then you are trying to free yourself from the mind, in this, even when the eyes are open and you are in contact with the world through the senses, even at that time to be in the yoga state. That is avikamba yogam. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, avikambena yogena yujyade natra samshaya, Krishna says. Which is a higher state, isn't it? That to go into a samadhi state or in the yoga institute and engage in meditation for a few hours, keeping your eyes closed, no doubt that is also a system whereby you can keep the bring the mind under control. But higher than that is when the eyes are open and while living in this world, still able to remain in that samadhi state, which is a higher position, no doubt about that. And that avigambena yogena, Krishna is saying, after doing all your sadhana and upasana and everything, ultimately self-inquiry, reflection, you will get this sandeham. This doubt will still come. And that is why the four Kumaras asked this question to Krishna, where? In Hamsa Gita, in the 13th chapter. If you remember, in the 13th chapter of the 11th canto, Kumaras asked this question, and this was the question. But what comes here? This Avigambhena Yogena Yujade Natra Samshaya. What was Kumara's question there? Kumara asked a question to Krishna, saying to him that Kumara says to Krishna that how is that possible? They asked Brahma first. Brahma couldn't answer. Why? Because Brahma was engaged in karma. Due to karma, Rajogunam has gone in, and therefore he couldn't answer. So in the 13th chapter, you will see there that the Kumaras even, who generally is the personification who have realized souls, even they got that doubt. And they asked that question, and that is what you will find there, that Kumara Sanagade Uju, it says here in the verse 17, in the 13th chapter, Guneshu avishade chedu gunas chedasi ja prabhoho kadham anyonya samtyago mumucho adititirshoho. That's that question. Guneshu avishade chedu gunas chedasi ja prabho kadham anyonya samtyago mumucho adititirshoho. Normally, in the yoga process, Ashtanga Yogam, if you stay secluded from everywhere. You see, Ashtanga Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, they are all connected each other. Most of the people think, oh, this is one route and this is another. It is not like that. Although they are different routes in one sense, there's a lot of things in common as well between the Jnana Yogam, Ashtanga Yogam and Bhakti Yogam. That is why, have you noticed in the third canto, when Kapila Maharshi spoke to Devahuti Devi, Kapila only did not speak about Bhakti Yogam. He spoke about Dhyana Yogam, he spoke about Jnana Yogam, and he spoke about Bhakti Yogam. That is how. He kept it together. Didn't want to separate it out. Why? Because of this close connection, relationship between the different yoga process. Normally we will say Dhyana Yogam is a part of the Ashtangam. Isn't it? Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. So Dhyanam is part of Ashtangam. But that Dhyanam comes in Jnana Yogam as well as in Bhakti Yogam also. So you can't take it away. But the way you reach Dhyanam state in Ashtanga Yogam is different than the way you reach the Dhyanam states in the Jnana Yogam or through the Bhakti Yogam process. But ultimately Dhyanam is necessary. Dhyanam is necessary. So here you can see four Kumaras are also asking the same question. They are saying that you have come to this state. It says, how can you stay in the Dhyanam state? Because in the meditation state, if you keep your eyes closed, you will be okay. You are not in contact. The senses and the sense objects are not in touch each other. If you shut down all the senses. But if all the senses are open, the sense objects will... But even when your senses are closed, mind is saying to the sense objects, I can't come to you because all my exit doors are closed. Which one? The senses. So when the mind is saying like this, the sense objects are saying, don't worry, if you can't come to us, we will come to you. This is how it works, isn't it? So what happens? When we try to stop the objects coming in and you close all your eyes down and plug the ears and close your eyes, and close all other exits, still the mind is able to meditate on the sense objects. Isn't it? So this unusual relationship between the mind and the sense objects, that's what the Kumaras have asked. Kumaras are saying that Guneshu avishate chedo gunas chedasi cha prabho kadham anyonyam samtyago mumucho adititirshoho. That mumucho who wants to free himself from this influence of the mind is a very difficult thing, they are saying. Atititirshoho. And katham anyonya samtyagam, this mutual relationship, how can you break it between the mind and the sense objects? Normally, mind goes to the sense objects through the senses, is it not? Or sense objects reports to the mind about the sense objects. Senses reports about the sense objects to the mind. This is our life in this world, whole day. This is all what we are doing. We are not doing anything big here. All we are doing is these five senses constantly reporting to us about the sense objects to enjoy, and mind is looking for that opportunity to enjoy, isn't it? So this relationship is very difficult relationship between the mind and the sense objects. So Sanaga Maharshi, Sanagadeya Maharshi, Sanagadeya Uju, it says, Guneshu Avishade Chedo Gunas Chedasicha Prabho. Guneshu Avishade Chedo. Guna means the three modes of material nature. From the Prakriti, in other words. They will come and influence the mind. Gunas Chedasicha Prabho. Because when Krishna started that chapter, Krishna mentioned with the modes of nature. Sattvam Rajasthamaiti Guna Buddherna Chalpmana Sattvam Anyadamohanya Sattvam Sattvena Chaivahi. There Krishna begins that about the modes of nature and influences in us. So keep holding on to that. Kumaras asked this question. Guneshu Avishade Chedo Guna. When I say sense objects, you have to know that they are modes of nature. Sense objects are the modes of nature. We find them, we call them in separate names, but in substance, the effect of the any sense object is its modes of nature, isn't it? What it creates. For example, if you see a nice car, it's a sense object it is. What is the impact of the car inside us? To race it, to drive faster and drive comfortable. That means it's bringing rajogunam inside us, isn't it? It generates rajogunam. That particular sense object creates rajogunam inside. Rajogunam inside. Similarly, every object in this world has a subtle level, it will create some modes of nature within us. Some modes of nature it will create within us. We may not be conscious of all these things because that's the way we continue in this world. But primarily, the modes of nature, its interaction with the mind is our life, basically. That's what it is going on throughout the day. It is based on that, Kumaras are asking this question to Krishna, to Hamsam, Hamsa Yoga, Hamsa Gita this is. Guneshu avishade chedo gunas chedasi cha prabho. Then it can come and attack, the gunams can come, avesham, it can, guneshu avishade chedo, chedasa means mind. Gunam, three modes of nature can come and occupy the mind. If not, gunas chedasija prabho, that modes of nature are welcomed by the mind. They welcome. Very easily they welcome the mind. Mind welcomes the modes of nature. It welcomes the modes of nature. And why? Because mind cannot exist without that. When the modes of nature enters inside, chittavritti starts. And chittavritti, when it becomes in a deeper level, the mind is getting stronger. Mind is getting stronger. And he says here, Katha, please say, Anyonya Samtyagam. This mutual relationship is very difficult. How to break this between the mind and the modes of nature? Mumuksho Adititirshoho. For those who are looking for freedom from this material existence, in other words, samsaram. So it is an answer to that. Krishna spoke that what is known as what we discussed as Hamsa Gita, isn't it? If you want to discuss, because that's a very important chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam, this Hamsa Gita. Out of the four Gita, Dattatraya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Bhikshu Gita, Aila Gita, four Gitas. Out of that, Dattatraya Gita is all relationship with the 24 spiritual masters. Spiritual life is discussed there. In this, Dattatraya Hamsa Gita is a conversation between Hamsam and the four Kumaras, isn't it? It's one of the topmost Vedanta philosophy, that is what is discussed in that verse. Where Krishna talks about Jagrat Supna Sushuptanja Gunado Buddhi Vrtaya Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Sakshityana Vinishchida. You can see the verse 27, where three modes of nature is also, the three states of existence as a part of that. We have gone through that verses in detail when we discussed the 11th canto. So we'll not go into that now. But coming back to this, Krishna is saying here that four Kumaras asked this question. What was the same question in there? What was the question? Question was this, that this avikampana yogena, how is that possible? How is that possible? So you can see when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna just touches the word and go. There is no time to explain that. More detailed explanation is in the Bhagavadam, all these things. But in Bhagavad Gita, he just touches and go. You are supposed to understand what avikampana yogena means. But if you want to understand that properly, Hamsa Yogam, Hamsa Gita, you have to study. That's what will give you the explanation to that. So here, when you open your eyes, you see different names and forms. Namarupam. Namarupam comes there, isn't it? How can you wipe it out, this Namarupam from inside? And how to stay in that state? You have to stay in that state, which is very similar to the Sushupti state, isn't it? In Sushupti state, what happens? There is no Namarupam. Name and form doesn't exist. There is no black, there is no white. There is no man, there is no woman. There is no table, there is no chair. These are all Namarupam, isn't it? They are all Namarupam. Namarupam doesn't exist in the Sushupti state. So how do we stay in that state? And while that state, if that comes into the vacant state, how will you conduct your transactions in this world? Vyavaharam. This was the question. So Bhagavan Krishna says that in the Hamsopakhyanam or this Hamsa Gita, that he instructed about that in detail to the four Kumaras there. There also Krishna said exactly the same thing. What did he say there? Whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you smell, whatever you touch, and that means all five activities of five different senses. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you smell, whatever you taste, whatever you touch. If all of them, all that potency is me, Krishna says, when you are experiencing any of these senses, if you know that experience what you are having at that moment, that's me, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. If you know that, then it becomes avigampena yogena. And that means what happens is tripudi goes away. In Vedantam, it is called as tripudi. Tripudi means that we have a person is seeing something, the seer. Then there is the object, what he is seeing. And there is a process of seeing. Seer, the seen, and the process of seeing. These three things, they are called tripudi, the three things. Tripudi has to go from inside, in everything, not only with the eye, with the ears, with the all the five senses. When you lose that tripudi is the three ways of interacting with the senses and the sense objects. The senses, the sense objects, and the process of interaction between the senses and the sense objects. That is, these three things are together called tripudi. When tripudi goes away from inside, in that Hamsopakhyanam, Hamsa Gita, Krishna mentions there that you will experience that vastu is one, they are not three. It is split into three in our perception. It has come as three. But actually there is no three, there is only one. And when that comes here, that is called avigampena yogena. When the same thing happens in our self-realization, these three things go away. What is the three things? Jiva, Ishvara, and the world, Jagat. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. It is called tripudi. It's also tripudi. In every religion in this world, it's based on this tripudi. Jiva here, we are here, God is there up there somewhere, and the world is there. Three separate things, Jiva, Ishvara, and Jagat, the world. But when tripudi goes away, only then we can come to this state, what Pipalaya Maharshi spoken there, that world is Krishna. That oneness inside between the Jiva, between Ishvara and the Jagat, that happens when tripudi leaves. Tripudi goes away from here. The tripudi is the word, so, and that is that Krishna is calling as Tattvadaha. Tattvadaha. Tattvam is that. When tripudi goes, then you will see things properly, you will know things properly, you will taste things properly, or you will see all sensual activities also will be in its right situation. And there's another word used here, Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam is a word that they have used in some instances. So here, Ajari Swamiji mentions that, he says, Sa avikampena aprajalitena yogena Samyak Darshanam sthaira lakshanena yujyade sambadhyade na atra samshayaha na asmin arthe samshaya asti. This state, when tripudi goes away, then what is his state with the world? It's called Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam is that. Samyak. And the same word Krishna uses in the Bhagavatam, if you remember, that, what did he say? That Samyak word comes many places in the Bhagavatam. Especially Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna started instructing Uddhava, first thing, Tondu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Swajana Bandushu Maya Veshya Mana Samyak Samadrek Vijaraswagam. That Samyak word comes there. See? So, Tondu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Swajana Bandushu. First of all, give up all connections with your family, relations, whatever you say, where you are connected through the body. That is why, Sandhu Sarvam Baritejya Sneham, attachment in all these places, different places. Sojanam Bandushu. Then, Mayyaveshya Mana, completely fixed on the soul. Then what will happen? Mayyaveshya Mana, how? Samyak. That Samyak state has to come, what we discussed here. So, that Samyak state is what is mentioned here. Samyak Darshanam. It is called Samyak Darshanam. In Vedantam it is called it as Samyak Darshanam. One who notes that and this word is used everywhere. This Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Vision, in other words, that is used everywhere. So Samyak Darshanam. And one who has got that Samyak, that yoga system at that time, which means that he knows the vastu in tattvam. That's what it means, isn't it? Evam yo veti tattvada, Krishna says. What is this veti tattvada means? This Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam. Tripudi has gone, and this will only happen through tattvajnanam, while discussing the tattvam. And his vivaharam, that yoga siddhi, will never be lost. Like in the Ashtanga Yogam, that yoga state, what you experience samadhi state through dhyanam. As soon as you wake up, your senses have come into operation. You have lost that yoga state, isn't it? Ashtanga Yogam, that is what happens. Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga system, after you have practiced through the dhyanam, yamam, neyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, and then samadhi comes. Eight process, ashtangam. Eight stages of yoga system. But that ashtanga yoga process, the difficulty with that is, once you wake up from that state, comes back to vyavaharam, you lose that. But here, Krishna is saying, avikampena yogena, through knowledge, jnanamargam, when you process through, it comes to a state, even in vyavaharam state, you are in the yoga state, in the samadhi state, even while conducting the vyavaharam in this world. All great jnanis were like that. If you study the history of the great personalities, highly realized souls, like Janaka and all that, Janaka is administering his kingdom. And when this meeting took place between Janaka and Ashtavakra, suddenly Ashtavakra Maharshi created artificially a fire there. And they continued discussing with Janaka, and Ashtavakra continued discussion. The brahmacharis ran out from the house looking for their kaupins where it was hanging. So, whereas Janaka didn't even move from there. And suddenly somebody came reporting that the whole palace is under fire. All the queens and all the princesses, they are all in trouble. The whole palace is on fire. Janaka didn't move from there. Ashtavakra Maharshi created an artificial, because he was such a great yogi, he was, this Ashtavakra. So he created this suddenly, and the brahmachari students, when they later on after Janaka left, went back to Ashtavakra and told him, why do you show so much favor to Janaka? So Ashtavakra told him, I saw your position in spiritual life after so many years living with me. As soon as there was a fire, I saw you running after your underwears. And here was Janaka, who owns the whole kingdom. He did not move from there. That is his state. They never disturbed over anything. Even he says in one place, if you read Ashtavakra Gita, between conversation between Ashtavakra and Janaka, Janaka says to Ashtavakra, even in the middle of all the fire in the forest and in the palace, I am still in that state of self-realization. To say that, you have to be somewhat special, isn't it? There's a lot of things. Shuka Sukadev Goswami goes to see Ashtavakra Maharshi. We have discussed this before. So why? Shuka Brahmarshi is a brahmachari. Vedavyasa Maharshi sent him to Janaka Maharshi, King Janaka, to learn from him transcendental knowledge. He says, your realization is still not complete. Go to him, he said. When he went to see him, Janaka knew that he was coming. That is the state, his state. he was coming. So he told his gatekeepers, when he comes, don't let him in. Tell him to stay in the palace gardens for a few days. Keep him there and let's see what happens. Janaka was completely conscious of what was happening to him. For a few days, Sudeva Goswami stayed in the gardens. And then one day he said to the gatekeepers, when do you think I'll get to see him? He says, I'll tell you. When he tells us to call you, we'll call you, he said. So after a while, Janaka was conscious that I should call him now. Called him inside one day. When he went inside, King Janaka was sitting in a palace, very well, very opulent, and with a lot of music going on, and beautiful things to eat, very wonderful things to eat, and the palace was very, very opulent. And Janaka was not disturbed, even in the middle of all these things. He was still in that transcendental state. There's a lot of things happen between Janaka and Shukha Brahmarshi. We'll discuss that another time. So, so this state is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Nirvikalpa means there is no vikalpam anymore inside. The mind doesn't move under any circumstances. And Krishna says here that sahaja nirvikalpa means this nirvikalpam state coming in a natural way under all circumstances. And this is what Krishna is going to discuss in the next verse. So we'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.